I'm
care
sure.
to join us for the pledge?
Lack of moisture.
Actually, that was more of a demand than a request.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You have the accounts payable.
Yeah.
Are we making one motion or two?
Two. I have all the material now. It's everything that I might have not just handed to you. That, yes. So that's going to be the information from last week as well as this week. And Tom added his items of note on there as well.
And you should have some, yeah, items of note.
So we have two separate sets of accounts payable.
Okay, well, I think so. We just have one. There's just the packet from 210 through 214.
There it is. Yeah.
Good. So I'll make it in one motion. So I move that we approve the accounts payable for the cycle date 210 through 214. In the amount of $1,009,079.70. The payroll checks, warrants, and associated payments total of $764,399.27. Total warrants approved for the cycle date February 19th. Would be $1,773,478.97. So I'll make it in two motions. It'd probably be easier. So
second.
Items of note.
So it looks like the items of note, looks like there's a Wagner equipment. There was $40,231.78 for Yampa Valley Regional Airport, the airside loader and accessories. There's Jeffrey Gilbert Olson, $7,000 for the building plant budget for the security remodel labor costs. And the rest were normal. The Eric Thomas Smith was $1,600 for the 12-19-19 ambulance inspections. And then there was a Chelsu Corporation for $55,000 for the Yampa Valley Regional Airport Gerstag folding wing plow. And then there was also a Tyler Technologies for the IT, Tyler Munis support and licensing for the e-procurement, and management support for $48,001.15.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 So the second one, Mr. Chairman, would be the checks of cycle date 2-3 through 2-7 in the amount of $581,402.99. $581,402.99. County manager is reviewed and approved such.
Second.
Items of note.
So I think so on that one.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Mr. Chairman, I move to approve consent agenda items A, B, C, and D.
Second.
Dramatic pause.
I wasn't hearing, so
no, no, it's okay.
I heard you said A, B, C, and then
it's all good. We can hardly keep ourselves straight without any managers.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 I'll do my best. And I'm sending
turn
apologies.
This on. Am I turning this
from,
on?
Yeah, you got all this right.
From okay. Julie, in fact, during that that stoppage right before Rabbit in the Pass, I called her and she was getting ready to come up, and I said, "Look, I said, I think Lane would understand if you didn't come up, so she'll be up next time."
Great. So I forgot to turn the microphones on, just for the record. We're here for our 10:55 a.m. item. We're getting an investment update from Chandler Management, who manages our investment portfolio. Scott?
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I will start on page 3, and as usually the case, I won't touch but on the highlights of the details of this page. And I think one thing that I have to mention is the coronavirus and what's going on there. It's back moving markets even this morning, especially equity markets, but also flight to quality ever since they talked about the virus and the effects it could have a few weeks ago. So we were, for example, we were trading at about a 160 intraday, as I recall looking at it, and then with the coronavirus scare, certainly not the only factor, but one of the major factors, we dropped down to about a 131 intraday, and now I believe the 2 years this morning is trading at about a 139. Again, the bulk of that is because of the coronavirus scare, and we're seeing some effects of comments from, for example, Apple this morning, and the effects that the virus might have on their earnings. Moving forward, some of the numbers are interesting, though. You know, the flu virus, in fact, I wanted to look it up this morning. 13,000,006 so far in the U.S. just by the flu. So far this season, it's killed 6,600 people just in the U.S. And that compares to 72,000 with the coronavirus, with 1,868 passing away. And the human cost, you know, it's always horrible. But I think it's interesting to look at those statistics on a relative basis.
Are you saying that fear is driving the markets?
I am saying that fear always drives the market. Unfortunately, but cooler heads usually prevail. We think that this is a transitory event, and needless to say, we're hopeful on the human side. We have to look at it closely on, obviously, the economic side. And first quarter GDP, we expect global GDP to be knocked almost in half. There's a research firm that we follow as well, BCA, that thinks specifically that it's going to be going from 3.3% to 1.7% because of the virus. That's globally for the first quarter GDP.
Oh, just first quarter.
Yep, just first quarter GDP. Exactly. So one thing that was interesting is the Dallas Fed this morning actually said that they're going to stay the course, the Fed chair there. We are taking them at their word. A lot of times we don't do that and think that the Fed is not going to stay true to what they're talking about in terms of not lowering or raising the overnight rate. And right now, our firm thinks that it's going to be status quo, at least for the near term, over the course of the next 6 months. So keep the overnight rate at 150 to 175. So, and that affects so much what we do for your portfolio. That's why it's relevant. Then also,
before you leave that, so they're really, there's no reason why they would do anything different with it. I mean, versus any reason why they should do something different. There's no reason why they should. There seems to be no reason why they should do anything with it either.
Yeah, exactly. At least right now. That's correct. Exactly.
And again, I don't know that the system's not broken, so we're doing all right.
Yep.
We're not having a runaway. We're not trying to chase a runaway.
Exactly.
And so.
Yep.
Other than the stock market's been kind of on a runaway.
The stock market has done quite well. Yes, it has. And we'll see if this turns out to be somewhat of a bubble. We don't think we're there yet, relatively speaking, with valuations and and earnings, but it is getting, to use a technical term, in my opinion, frothy, if you will. So we'll see.
Irrational exuberance.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little more technical, actually, than frothy. But I would not be surprised if we see a pullback in the equity markets in the near term here.
But so, not a crash.
The circumstances definitely are not even close to where we were in 2008 with the leverage. We're slowly creeping up, but we're not even close to where we were.
So, but even the Fed rate, how does the Fed, I know there's got to be some relationship between the Fed rate and stock market.
Yeah, exactly. Low yields have really benefited the equity markets and risk assets. So it's tough right now, especially for retirees who were planning 20 years ago to have that 3-4% return, if you will, on a 10 to 30 year treasury. And those days certainly aren't here now, and we don't see it returning in the foreseeable future. So taking on more risk is sometimes the only option.
Of course, at the same time, inflation has been constrained.
Yes, exactly.
Ideally, you would hope that your portfolio would grow at the same rate as inflation.
Exactly.
If you're there,
right,
you're okay.
Right. You are exactly right. Yeah. And, in fact, with that segue, I'm going to, we all know employment is doing quite well. The next page 5, there you go. You provided a great segue into the personal consumption expenditures on the right-hand side of the page, 1.6%. So we're not close to the 2% target that the Fed has. Globally, inflation is fairly benign. So until we see a pickup in inflation, the Fed is really with the green light relative to policy. Certainly, either slightly higher or slightly lower. But, we don't expect the Fed to lower or raise rates in the near term.
And you prefer the personal consumption expenditures over the CPI?
The Fed does, yep. The Fed, it's a little bit more dynamic relative to how it measures inflation. The Fed believes, and I also believe, that it's a more accurate and more indicative of true inflation, whereas the basket of goods is fairly stationary with the CPI. Again, a little bit more inclusive and dynamic with the personal consumption expenditures, so bottom line, a little more accurate. The ever-important consumer on page 6, so jump up on retail sales, 5.8% in December versus 3.3% in November. And then consumer confidence is running still very high at 131.6.
Most everybody's working.
Most everybody's working. If you want a job, like I like to say, you have a job for the most part. So wages are the issue there. 3.1% year over year for wage increases. When we've seen labor markets as tight, it's typically been closer to 4%.
It's interesting. The Census Bureau can't hire workers, and they raise the wage rate in Rock County to $21.50 an hour, and the hours are flexible and work pretty much any time, days, hours you want to, nobody's answering the call for those jobs. It surprises me because we talk so much about in our resort economy that we have all these people that are working for $13, $14, $15 bucks an hour.
And three jobs.
Why will people not take that job for $21.50 an hour? Granted, it's temporary, but most of these resort service jobs are—they're not really considered careers.
Right.
So I'm just a little bit flummoxed by that.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't have a great answer for you.
I didn't figure you would.
anecdotal relative to my own experience, my own observations, including my own daughter. Friends of friends where they have children that are in their 20s and my own bias, some of them graduate from school and I'm not going to work for $21 an hour and hold out and, live with mom and dad and try and figure something out. Granted, it's a very small slice, but I can named three or four people right now that have gotten very good degrees and are
not making any money. And,
trying to figure things out.
Yeah, become a barista with your bachelor's degree or master's degree.
Yeah, exactly.
So full employment, such as we have, is a downward pressure on the economy and the growth, right?
Yeah, in fact, I did a real, because your inflation comment, the employment numbers are on page four. So we have, we had a real strong non-farm payrolls number on the left-hand side, 225,000 recently, and we have a 3.6% headline number and 6.9% for U6, but again, 3.1% for wages, so that's pretty low, relatively speaking. Underemployment rate, U6, 6.9%, again, is those people that are working part-time but want to work full-time. If they answered the survey and got that job you're talking about, they would be in that particular category.
I think Rob County's at, like, 1.6, so I'm not exactly.
And then do you guys see statistics, speaking of Steamboat in your district, separating Steamboat, I'm sure you do, from the rest of the county?
No.
I don't know that those stats are separated out. It's just Brown County.
Okay.
The majority of the jobs are in Steamboat.
Sure.
I mean, by a long shot.
Right.
My guess is there wouldn't be that much difference. Even the people in the outlying communities, mm-hmm. they're working.
Right.
And they're probably working in Steamboat.
Yeah, they're working and commuting.
Yeah.
Even in Craig.
Yeah.
Well, if the waits for the restaurants to grab dinner last night is any indication, it's doing quite well.
Well, they don't have enough people working.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's a great point. So I will move forward to economic activity. On page 7, leading economic indicators down 0.3%, and then Chicago Fed National Activity Index, -0.23. That's not too bad. The baseline growth rate for the CFNAI on the right-hand side of the page is zero. So that doesn't mean zero growth. That's just the gauge that this particular index uses. And I think we've said this before. It's a gauge that I like. It has historical significance relative to the correlation with inflationary pressures and growth. So if we see it drop down to -0.7, then most likely we're not in a recession. We are likely to enter a recession. So it's got 85 indices that this follows. So I follow that gauge fairly closely. But historically speaking, this -0.23 is pretty far away from a recession. Housing on the next page, page 8, saw a jump up in housing starts, 16.9%. I think these low yields are going to be helping the housing market through lower mortgage rates. And then we saw recently the Case-Shiller 20-city composite index up 2.6% recently.
What is the home mortgage rate running at right now?
What is that? I believe it's for the 30 years running about a 3.16.
Yeah, 3.5%.
Yeah. Holy smokes. That's
What historically it's a
little low. Yeah, that's
remember when Don and I bought a house back in the 70s, I think we had a 18-19%.
I remember doing a paper, my first economics paper I ever did, and it was Paul Volcker was the Fed chair, and I think I was looking at 18% interest rates. Yeah, it was crazy.
Made for a great tax deduction.
Yeah, exactly.
I think my mortgage is about 3.9. I was just doing my taxes yesterday.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. On to manufacturing, a couple of pictures worth a thousand words. Drop off on both the ISM on the left-hand side as well as industrial production. We'll see, one data point doesn't make a trend. We did jump up above 50, which is into the expanding category at 50.9. We had some maybe temporary events with the GM strike as well as what's going on with Boeing affect that data, and then industrial production is down 1% year over year. Some economists are thinking we've hit the bottom here relative to some factors, a couple of them I just mentioned. So we'll see. But manufacturing has definitely been fairly weak over the course of the past 12 months. And then moving on to GDP on the next page, I've already mentioned a couple items relative to the effects of the coronavirus. We just focus on the U.S. numbers. Let's see, that fourth quarter number at 2.1% on the left-hand side there. The components of GDP, the 12/19 date, you go all the way down to the total, and that's 2.1% for the fourth quarter. That's the first reading. We'll see if that is the final reading. So overall, 2.3% GDP for 2019. The consensus is for about 1.8% for 2020.
It happened to 4%.
But
we were going to see 4%.
We'll see if we go there. I'm not holding my breath on that. Just like I think the same odds as the Cleveland Browns winning the Super Bowl. Hopefully no one's from Cleveland. Or listening. But I think it's probably about the same probability.
That's all right. I've been a Mets fan for years, so I suffer by my own world.
We did see, actually, this just this morning with comments out of the Dallas Fed. They actually expect 2 to 2.5%. So somewhere in that range, 1.8 to 2%, I think, is a likely number that we'll see this year for GDP.
So you've mentioned the Dallas Fed a couple of times now.
Right. The only reason I mentioned the Dallas Fed is because it seems to be cyclical relative to each governor who sits on the FOMC. And this morning he was making comments. Kerrigan, I believe is his name. They had some turnover here. Robert. And obviously Jay Powell, the chair. Richard Clarida is the vice chair. Richard Clarida is probably the strongest vice chair we've ever had in history for the Fed. And what I mean by that is I think his voice actually means something in the room versus like the Greenspan era, Volcker, even Janet Yellen. I think it was just strictly run by the chair. But I think it's a little bit more democratic now. So we'll see what they do. But that's the only reason I'm talking about the Dallas.
I mean, there's nothing geographical about their...
There isn't. It's just they were it, if you will, relative to being in the headlines and making comments over the course of the past 24 hours. And then, more importantly, on the next page, page 11, what does all this mean for yields? And you can see the tail off on the left-hand side there with the 2-year, 5-year, and the 10-year Treasury. When I looked at where they were trading about an hour ago, the 2-year at a 139... 5-year to 137, and the 10-year to 1.53%. And the 30-year, which I don't typically mention, is sub 2% now. So, but you know, the vast majority of mortgages are based on the 10-year. So when the 10-year is at 153, that's why we're seeing a 350, 360 mortgage yields, so mortgage rates, I should say. And we have a slight inversion, you're looking at the right-hand side, between the 3-month bill trading at a 154 versus going out 2 years on the curve at a 137. So there's some of that, again, is flight to quality, an exorbitant amount of buyers for treasuries, so that will depress the yield. When you have that demand might come out of the market if we see the virus act like, for example, SARS. It was a quick run-up with regard to the number of cases and then a quick run-down. So we saw, for example, the Shanghai Index in China during SARS. It was November 2002 through June through 2003. And the Shanghai Index fell, I believe it was around 13%. But then by the end of the year, such a quick snapback, it was up 11%. So that's historically how most of these have gone, very transitory.
Help me understand something pretty basic. What's the difference between a treasury note yield and a treasury yield?
It's just nomenclature.
Okay.
And you're looking at 3-month bills, you're looking at the bill market when you look really short, you're looking at notes for the most part relative to the verbiage, less than 10 years bond, the 30-year bond.
Got it.
If you want to be technical, realistically, even in our business, if you say treasury notes,
close
runs
enough.
The gamut. Yeah.
Got it.
So back to the SARS thing. So when you said it had the drop, Then you said it had the 11% increase?
Yes.
Was that over where the bottom was, or was that 11% over where the where it started before it dropped?
Sure. It, in Makes November, sense. Yeah, it, SARS was, we were in a similar point, not exactly, but similar point in November of 2002 for the SARS virus. And I don't know the exact date, but it dropped, the Shanghai index dropped slightly more than 13%. I believe it was 13.48, but 13.7%.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
And then by the end of that year, so it was 2003, the Shanghai index was actually up 11%. So it had a huge snapback.
Now, but again, 11% over where it had been before it dropped?
Yes, yes.
Wow, so yes. So it had recovered, basically, the 24.
Now, it's not exactly comparing apples to apples because of the GDP at that point in time of China was, I believe it was around 10%. So now it was projected, China was projected to have 6% GDP. This coming year,
6%
most of the total. Total, yeah. Most economists believe that it's now going to be around 4.5%. I believe is the latest consensus that I read about, and there were some other statistics that I wanted to.
Which sounds about. Great for China, except 4.5% is so far below what they've been used to.
Exactly.
There's still a little bit of civil unrest.
Funding our treasury bonds.
Exactly. And then there was it's been an average of 6.6% GDP for the prior 3 years in China, 6.6%, and that's dropped to. I've got a lot of numbers floating around in my head, and sometimes it's hard to keep them straight. I apologize. 5.2% for the next 3 years, according to the. Bank of America Global Fund Managers Survey. So that's actually a fairly significant drop from 6.6, and most of it they're giving credit to the virus. So,
well, that must nice to have something to blame rather than any structural problems they might have.
If you get the virus over there, your life isn't really good. So quite a different. Path to try and control that in China. It's
a lot of people.
A lot of people, and the way they're handling it is interesting.
We probably should be grateful that they are being as heavy-handed as they are, right?
Yeah, exactly. They might have been slow to react, but
once they did,
you're right. It was fast and furious, exactly. So that was the economic update. Now I'll move over to the exciting part. Now we move to the boring part. So, and as a reminder, we moved our benchmark before we even get started from the 2-year HTM to the 0 to 3 year. So, slightly longer duration. So, over the course of time, it should add value to the county's performance. But over the near term, we've restructured the portfolio where it matches that particular benchmark a little bit better. So we're playing a little bit of catch-up, which we'll show here in a minute. But, obviously, our objective is to equal or exceed that particular benchmark. And on page 14, you can see we're in compliance with both 2475-601 state statutes relative to managing public funds as well as your investment policy. And then the portfolio characteristics on page 15, we are running about 96% duration. So, again, that duration has been moved around quite a bit over the past, again, on a relative basis, over the past year because of our new benchmark. And see the portfolio at $37,917,806 at the end of January 31st. And then, the duration allocation on page 16. See the structure of the portfolio, and we've added additional information relative to the breakdown of agencies, commercial paper, and U.S. Treasuries. As you would expect with the 0 to 0.25 years, that's the only category that has commercial paper. And then the overall duration distribution on page 17, again, a highly liquid portfolio. that were running the dark green representing the county's portfolio, with the benchmark being the light gray. And then moving on to page 18, I think what's interesting here is the bottom chart showing how we've moved the duration to one equal to benchmark, as well as manage what we call neutral duration, because one, we don't know where interest rates are going, but also I think we think the hurdle rate for the Fed to lower yields, even though we don't think they will, is lower than it is to raise yields. So if that's the case, we certainly want to be neutral duration, if you will, to equal the benchmark or outperform the benchmark. And then the issuer breakdown on page 19, you can see the majority of the portfolio in U.S. Treasuries, and then the breakdown of the agency paper, starting with Federal Farm Credit, Home Loan, Fannie Mae, and then the small positions we have in the A1, P1 commercial paper names. The quality distribution, as you would expect on page 20, nothing but AA and AAA. And then the investment performance. Again, this is, we unfortunately don't have the old benchmark in here that we have outperformed, so we're kind of running on the treadmill again, probably for another 12 months to catch up with the new benchmark, which we've equaled in the last 3 months. Again, that was changed in the middle of last year. But 12 months at 302 versus a 342. If you look at 5 years, 136 versus 135. And since inception, 124 versus 128. So even though since inception we were managing a shorter, much more conservative portfolio, it's done still well versus this new benchmark, if you look at since inception. And then the average purchase yield, which really equates to the income generation currently of the portfolio, at 2.01% on page 22.
So explain that again, historical average purchase yield. So back in 16, we were at 1%?
So what this does is really compilates all of those security positions that we buy. And if, let's say, if you just have three treasury positions, and you buy one of them at 2%, one of them at 180, and one of them at 220, and they're all the same size, we're all going to, you know, we're going to average out to 2%.
Okay.
And so that really equates to, it's not exact, but equates to the income generation of that particular portfolio over the course of time. So whatever the size of the portfolio is, Lane can expect to see, the county can expect to see income generation close to 2%. Whereas the chart before that, total return, also measures the change in value. So those bonds have changes in values as interest rate changes. So not only do you have the income component within those numbers, so that 0.63, which is not annualized, but that 0.63 for 3 months has the changes in the value, but also the income it generates. This really just equates to expectations relative to the income generation that the portfolio will generate, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
That was almost clear, but it's clear enough.
Okay. The main thing is you know, this. I think this is a good, it's indicative, the one on page 22, the purchase yield, again, of clipping coupons, you know, if you will, at 2% rate. Whereas the chart before that, which is underneath something called Gibbs Compliance Standard, don't even memorize that, but we have to follow that, Global Investment Performance Standards. And we have to include the changes of those underlying bonds and notes. And as those prices change, we have to include that in the performance of the 5 year. So for 5 years, we have to include those changes in every single bond, every single note that we purchased, along with the interest income. So that includes
them out to the end, it doesn't make any difference, because
if you hold them to maturity, you're right. Right, exactly. It
doesn't make nothing.
The bottom line, as you can see here, since I got elected, we've doubled our earnings.
Great.
I'm just saying.
Well, since me and Lane got elected, I mean, that's when it really took.
That's true. So, and I usually don't go into holdings unless you have a question, but happy to answer any questions you have.
No, as usual, Scott, you do. I mean, I really appreciate your insight into the workings of the world, and kind of at least gives us a little bit of a heads up.
So let's talk a little more about the coronavirus and the rest. I mean, so the threat of that ends up being on America's business because Apple's not going to be?
Not necessarily not just provide. Apple, but it's really the supply chain. I guess a good example would be I write the talking points for our firm for the coronavirus factors relative to the
economy. And that's
what
I'm interested in. Yeah.
And so rather than just have, I mean, honestly, almost every firm has the same talking points. And unfortunately, I haven't talked to them in detail yet, but I have a friend who runs a business, a couple of them small businesses, and he's in Vietnam right now. Hopefully he can get out.
Bad day to take a cruise.
Yeah. Exactly. he is having a hard time getting a supply. So he's manufacturing in Vietnam, and I believe he moved it to Indonesia as well. So Vietnam and Indonesia. But he gets the vast majority of his parts out of China.
Yeah.
So he's over there scrambling as we speak because he can't get the belts, the clips for the bags that he produces out of China. And he's in the meantime, he's got orders from REI, he's got orders from Nordstrom, and he's scrambling trying to get pieces. And I think that's similar whether or not you're making bags or refrigerators. I think it's the same thing, especially if you're manufacturing it.
Especially if you have many, many, many different pieces and parts to what you're manufacturing.
Exactly.
You only have to have one of those disrupted.
Right.
You can't make what you're making.
Right, exactly.
Elaine, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I'm good.
Okay. You're kind of absorbing the same thing we are, right?
Oh, I was just checking things. Yeah, I think, you know, I think our change of philosophy has gone well. I think it's doing well for the county.
The communication is good.
Good.
I guess, personally speaking, I appreciate your perspective of getting more money in the investments, which is kind of like you can either make more money by making more sales or you save costs. And so if you we end up making more money by having more money investments, that's all good too.
Especially to the extent that we get to sleep at night on that little bit of money that we're making. Safety.
Yes. Important. Safety.
So you still didn't kind of answer.
Uh-oh.
So I sit on the River District. I'm also on the investment committee for the River District as well. So we have had these investments come up due, and I says, well, it don't look like it's going to get any better. So we're going to sit there. We were going to hold $150,000 till the next interest rate. So, but man, I don't know. I mean, it could be worse by then too. So, I mean, you know, I said, you know, at least first in, first out, or keep moving, you know, and
yeah.
Versus holding, you could be at more risk to hold than it would be to sit there and wait for the higher rate to come in.
Right. I couldn't agree more, Doug. And you know, I'll use your county as an example. There's the allocation that you've given to us to manage, and that's core. You know, kind of like your own personal checking account, where you never have zero in there. You know, you always have typically an amount in savings, an amount in new checking that you're not using.
Not most people, though.
Okay. Just in general.
You try not to.
Yeah.
And so we've got that managed portion, but then also a portion, just to use one pool as an example, Wakala Trust, and that's the liquid portion. Well, the Wakala Trust right now has a higher yield than what we're investing in. But having done this for 33 years, it's typically the biggest mistake you can make. Let's say if you have $30 million allocated to this core strategy and an average of, you know, because of the fluctuation in taxes that are coming in, $15 million, just as an example, for the Wakala Trust average balance through the years. Sometimes it would be $10 million higher than that, sometimes slightly lower.
Yep.
Staying with that strategy is so important, and not thinking you're going to predict where the markets are going, because we're reinvesting in, let's say, a 1.50% yield security. But when I see mistakes made, it's when, well, we can get higher in college rates.
If we hang on to it.
Right, exactly. In the meantime, we don't know where interest rates are going. The whole global economy could take a turn for the worse, and it's not out of the question that that could happen. Coronavirus might be worse than expectations, and the Fed starts lowering rates. I would be surprised if they stopped one at one, but they might. But if they lowered it 50 basis points, then, wow, that 150 that you locked in for
Absolutely.
3 years looks pretty darn good versus Color Trust now at 1%.
Yeah.
Color Trust does a nice job managing their fund. I'm not. It's just they're subject to essentially the overnight rate of the Fed. You know? So.
Well, it's a good thing that you didn't mention the negative interest rate this meeting with us, so we're all good.
Yeah, we don't think it's, in fact, the team, the portfolio strategist team that I manage, we all wrote a piece on, did you get that, on negative yields? And we don't think it's likely we're going to see that.
Wouldn't we? I watched, you know, the other night I was watching on, well, that's what they're doing in Brexit or whatever. I mean, they're on the next negative interest rates or something like that?
Yeah, well, Germany has negative yields. Japan, demographics are not helpful by any means in those two countries.
Talk about add insult to injury.
Mattress starts looking pretty good. <I'm like. laughs>
Exactly. So that, you know, that 154 U.S. 10-year with backing of the U.S. government looks pretty good versus a negative 23 basis point, you know, German bond. So.
And that's, I think, in the last 10 months, we balanced that out. We were pretty heavy into liquidity investments and not so much into long-term. Right. So.
All right. You guys have any more questions?
I'm great.
Our firm appreciates the good communication.
We had thank you for coming up, because we have talked about just having you set this up and having you here to explain.
I mentioned to Lane, too. I mean, you know, I appreciate you. Probably a nice trip to get up here and come see us. And we're all good with Scott. So we're good.
I love
we're good with that.
So Steamboat's my
but again,
if it
works in to be a problem, you know, we've got the Zoom thing figured out.
We've been doing a lot of Zoom conferences lately.
So
it actually
really works
pretty
out
good.
Pretty damn good. So we like to see your face.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Professional services agreement for strategic planning. Julie?
Correct. I'm here to request the Board of County Commissioners approve the professional services agreement and that the chair sign the professional services agreement and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to Robin Shepherd, doing business as Wayfinder, in the amount of $18,000 for strategic planning professional services. So we went out for bid, and we had quite the range, from $18,000 to $98,000, and Robin's bid came in within our budget constraints for 2020, so that is why she was selected. Also, she's local, knows the area, knows what we're trying to achieve here, I believe.
Any questions?
I have no questions. You know, the only thing I did actually have a question about, in the agreement, it says that the billings are submitted to Tim for review. I've just never seen that in any other contract that we've had. That seemed odd to me.
Well, he needs to be the project manager on this
now. Okay, got it.
I do.
Yes, you do.
Now you know. That's you.
This will be going on beyond, and you know, if we have an interim come in, we can always amend the contract. But
okay, I just
right
thought
now,
that seemed
well,
odd.
You could assign it to whoever you want to.
You can have me do it if you want. No, I think it would be best that we start.
Just so we got a home
month.
For it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you know you're listed specifically as the.
A responsible party.
And there's so much more to come.
Questionable.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the PSA.
RFP? PSA?
What am I?
No, I guess it is
here.
A PSA.
It's a PSA.
Sorry.
Professional Services Agreement.
Okay.
And it's from RFP.
There you go.
666.
All right. Sorry, I won't insert myself.
That's all right. I was trying to figure that out, too. I mean, I read through this. But
got a lot of actions.
Yeah. The move to approve the professional services agreement with the chair's signature and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order with Robin Shepherd doing business as Wayfinder in the amount of $18,000 for the strategic planning professional services.
Second.
Noting that it has been stamped and approved by the county attorney.
Yep.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
They are now.
So we are here for our 1:30 p.m. item, which is pending matters in litigation and claim docket. So in order to have that discussion, I, acting as chair, move that the Board of County Commissioners go into executive session to receive legal advice concerning the county attorney pending matters list and the litigation and claim docket. This executive session is not being electronically recorded, as the county attorney has advised that the discussion is subject to attorney-client privilege. This is an executive session for the conference with the county attorney for the purpose of, am I reading all of these things?
Maybe that's the part we thought it was repeating. Just keep going.
This is an executive session for conference with the county attorney for the purpose of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions under CRS Section 24-6-4024B. I caution each participant to confine all discussion to the stated purpose of the executive session and that no formal action may occur in the executive session. If at any point in the executive session any participant believes the discussion is going outside of the proper scope of the executive session, please interrupt the discussion and make an objection. It is February
18th. It's up on that clock.
Oh, okay. February 18th, and the time is 1:32 p.m.
You'll go.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, the time is now 2:33 p.m. and the executive session has been concluded. The following persons were present at this executive session: the commissioners, the county manager, and the entire legal staff. The board limited its discussion to the purpose stated in the motion to go into executive session, and no formal action was taken. So we're here for a 2:30 item, just a little bit late, with Sheriff Wiggins. Sheriff, what have you got for us today?
Well, I just wanted to catch up with you guys. I know we've had some brief conversation by way of email. I just wanted to talk to you guys, more or less, nothing that we need to make a decision on today, but talk to you about developing a canine retiring policy. And since the canines are not in my budget, they're in building and plants budget. I didn't want to step on their toes, but we've had some health issues out of Boomer. Fortunately, they didn't turn out to be overly serious, but we're going to have to cut back.
Can't put him on desk duty or...
Right, yeah, exactly. Well, you know, to be a full-on patrol dog, they go through some pretty rigorous training, and so we're going to hone him back to just narcotics and tracking, and take him away from some of the more aggressive type, the hard physical agility type things to help get a few more years out of him. But at some point in time, we're going to have to retire a canine. Average is they usually last anywhere between 5 and 8 years, and we've had Boomer now for 5 years. So we still think he's got another good 2 or 3 years left in him, as long as we can reduce some of the stress on him. That being said, I still want to get ahead of this thing a little bit and figure out how you guys would like to go about developing a policy. And so the fact that the K-9 is in essentially Road and Bridge's policy, which is building and plans under Road and Bridge now. So I don't want to give this duty to Ray because it's so far outside of his area of expertise, but I just want to have a conversation with you guys about that one thing, and then I just want to have another conversation about getting us an impound yard.
Getting what?
An impound yard for our vehicles and things that we have to have impounded. So, anyway, first things first, with the retired canine policy, the usual method, there's three different forms that you can retire a canine. And so usually these dogs, especially the Belgian Malinois, they're very aggressive, high-strung dogs. They don't usually make good pets. So It's not like you can put them up for adoption, just have any dog lover come in and take them on and have a good safe pet. So the usual is that we either donate them or sell them for $1 to the handler. There's a couple of reasons for selling them for a dollar, but that's just going to remove the county from all liability. Mm-hmm. The other one is to try to find, and I don't even know that any exists, I'm sure they probably do, to try to find a retired canine company that takes in the retired canines and just lets them live the rest of their life. Kind of a retirement canine.
They do exist. My Google search confirms. Okay. There are such organizations.
Well, and I figured there was. I just haven't looked into it.
That would be an ongoing cost.
I think that would be an ongoing cost.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know.
What do you mean?
Could be sponsored out of a conference.
Well, or you might have to pay, but it's a one-time, right? You would transfer them to the organization.
Or pay an annual fee until they pass away.
Yeah, and I haven't looked into it.
It depends on
different steps to really know what that is. I know, and when I talked to Ed says, yeah, I want the dog. If you guys are going to retire him, whatever time that you retire, I'd like to keep him. Because, I mean, they started from when he was a puppy, and it's just usually the way it goes. And then worst case scenario is if the dog is in really bad shape, and maybe he's a real aggressive dog, and the handler doesn't want him, and you can't find an outfit to take him, then you might have to consider euthanizing. I just wanted to get you guys involved in the conversation and figure out if you wanted me to try to develop the policy or leave it with.
Do you think we need a policy?
So we are purchasing policy, which covers the deletion of assets.
It does.
Well, I mean, should be able to. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand. But I'm fine with you developing a policy. But if it's going
to be a baby,
we do have a purchasing policy that handles the disposition of assets.
Right. And if you don't feel we need a policy, I'm fine with that. I just want to make sure we're all in agreement.
And I appreciate you not throwing it on Ray, because it just makes sense that we'd have it and raise, the continued pool budget and the rest, so we can handle it out of the pool and not complicate your budget.
It is a little bit more complicated than replacing a 78 Ford pickup truck.
But we have a policy for resale of vehicles.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it could just be an amendment to that policy that addresses this specifically rather than a whole. I mean, I understand, like, this is a living animal, right? But from an asset standpoint, it's not significantly different. We need to make sure the county doesn't have liability, right? And we need to...
Now that we extinguished the continued liability...
Right.
Well, it seems like that some kind of policy is in order.
It does seem like that, because otherwise you might end up in a situation where the handler just takes the dog and we haven't clearly established what the guidelines are.
And wants to give it back.
Or wants to maintain... I mean, not that this would happen, but let's say the animal bit someone in the community and we hadn't adequately gone through a procedure to...
Still our dog.
Yeah.
So I think the answer to your question is yes, we'd love to develop a policy.
But it sounds like
those issues.
It may be able to be under a purchasing policy that already exists and could be an amendment to that.
Well, there's no sense in recreating the wheel here. I mean,
right.
Policies, other agencies have had cases and programs for years.
We're good. There's not a problem for this guy. Whatever you guys can own.
Yeah,
I think somebody else has already been on the bleeding edge of this. We'd rather.
Okay.
And we're developing this primarily in the best interest of the animal that has served
absolutely
the county for a number of years, and we want to make sure that they end up having as good a life as possible.
Exactly.
And I think that the three things that you stated about the three options, it makes sense that all three are included in the policy in sort of preferential order.
Sheriff's discretion versus building a plan.
Yes, that would make sense. Thanks for that.
So I'll get some other policies from one of the agents. I'll get with Eric, and we'll draft and form our own policy. Obviously, I'll give with Ray and let him know that we're working on this and see if he's got any.
So, again, short of having another policy, if we could include it into
the purchasing
policy on the...
We're getting to it, ready to adopt a new purchasing policy anyway.
Great.
Anyhow, we're good. Whatever.
All right.
Keep it simple.
I agree. I like it. I like the kiss. So, you know, our most recent homicide has created some issues with our impound yard. We knew we were going to have to come up with an impound yard at some point. So right now we've got some of the vehicles. Some of them were associated with a 40-something-year-old homicide West Route, Hayden area. And so we have to keep those forever.
In a secure location. How secure?
I don't know that that's really defined that well, but okay. I think it needs to be where you have to work really hard to get it.
Okay. It could be a chain link fence with the angled barbed wire at the top.
Yes. It doesn't have to be.
That's what it was out of the jail.
Yeah. That's what we had right now. We don't have that. It's not that we're going to need to process those. They've been processed until you can't process them anymore. You get under them. But certain things on certain types of crimes, we have to keep even the reports indefinitely. So, right now, we've got, I don't know, probably 8 or 10 vehicles that are up at the county shop. They're not really in a secure location. But at this point in time, they don't really have to be in a secure location. But our most recent homicide, you know, the vehicle was the murder scene. And so we've kept it under lock and key since then.
It's in the one bay that you have in the...
It was in the one bay, and then the city needed that bay.
Oh, right, right.
And so I moved it out, put it in our Sally Port.
Which is in your way.
Which it's in the way, and we can't wash our vehicles because that's where our pressure water is. So we need to make some plans for... And Doug came up with an idea of moving it over to Hayden. And at this point in time,
because the cost of land.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? We've got the 8 acres.
Well, I would volunteer that too, Tim. But other than the fact that I thought our road and bridge boys already kind of had their eyes on that.
They do, but everybody has recognized that out of that 8 or 9 acres, it's not all ever going to be really usable, right? Because there's some steepness to sections of it. And there's other parts that drop down to the creek. So there may be some space there that could be utilized. You'd have to check with Ray and Pete out of District 1, but I think that would be a possibility as well. I mean, either way, rather than using the space in Steamboat. And I know that wouldn't be as convenient for you, but you've stated that basically they're just getting out of sight, out of mind for a while.
Well, and that's just it. The only inconvenience that was really created at this point in time is if we seized the vehicles and then we ended up giving them back, when we got ready to release them to the owner, we'd have to drive either to Hayden or... But that's not a big deal.
And that's probably costs significantly less than acquiring land in Steamboat for this purpose, I would think.
Or tying up land and...
At the district station, that's what worried me. It's just tying up land,
so
and building the facility, and putting, you know, investment into the security part of it. Yeah,
and we have the Royal Hotel site
downtown. Hey, economic development in downtown Yampa.
So you probably need to develop some estimates for what it would cost to build the fence and level the ground.
Well, I would say he probably needs to work with Ray and figure out where the best place would be to do it.
Ray and Steve.
My concept even might have been, I mean, Peabody owned the place next to us down in Hayden. I mean, that's so, and maybe even a piece of the state land board abuts our shop.
It does?
I believe so, yes.
So in Hayden, we would need to acquire additional land, is that right?
No, but Ray could tell us, or Ray or Troy could tell us whether we need additional land or whether we could portion off of
a
small portion of that to park 10 to 12 cars, or whether we would need to buy a piece of land to put in 10 or 12 cars, which would be kind of a through the fence with our current security that we have down there, and build another secure area around that thing with a gate.
I don't think we need a large piece of ground. If it's designed right where the tow truck can get in and out real easy, you know, our biggest hurdle is during the winter months and trying to keep it free of stuff.
Yeah.
It's our biggest hurdle on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, that's why road and bridge property makes sense, because the boys are there with the equipment.
Right. And so we need a fenced-in area, and I would like to have, if nothing else, just a metal shed there. So when we have a situation like we have, we don't have them that often, but when we do have them, it'd be nice to have that vehicle parked inside a locked shed to where it's not taking up space here at the club. That way, if the defense attorneys need to go back out and evaluate it or look at it, we can take it out and have to dig through piles of snow to get to it.
That's in the case of an active ongoing case.
Yes.
And then once that's over with, then it could get moved out.
It was right outside.
Yeah, I think you've got the need.
So when you move it, do you move it with a tow truck, or do you, can you drive it? Or
it all depends on the case. If the case has been disposed and we're done with it, we can actually get in the car and move it around. But if
so, like, if it's still going on right now,
every time we move it, we have to do it with a tow truck.
That answered my question.
And so we have another $250-$300 expense because they can move it without anybody getting in. So
I'm in support of figuring out a way to do this. Okay. I imagine the cost will be reasonable.
I think we need to direct you to go talk to Ray.
And have
Ray work.
Yeah, because I might be totally off base. It may be physically impossible for them to provide that much extra space in District 1.
Yeah, work with Ray and see what makes sense.
Okay.
Let us know. Come back with a cost estimate on it.
Yeah, and again, we'll have to, no matter where, we're going to start from scratch right now. And again, what's Steve-O doing with theirs?
They still have their impound yard there, but at the old city shop.
Can we share or no?
Small,
not possible.
It's pretty tight. Every time I've gone
at
there,
the old city police station.
No, at the city shop.
Right there
behind the bus garage, I think.
Yeah, 13th. Yeah.
It's a small lot, and again, they have no. It's very difficult to get in and move snow in.
Maybe we can work out something with the city and build a slightly, if we have the space, a slightly larger lot and charge them a reasonable fee to keep their vehicles for them. Since we're cooperating with them, and you have to think that that's a pretty valuable piece of property they're using for an impound yard.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe you should... when you're doing that investigation, you say you need space for 10 or 12 cars. You might ask, what if we need space for 24 or 30?
Well, that's just it. We're growing, and we're getting a lot more calls now than we ever have. And with more calls, there's going to come more situations where we end up seizing stuff. So
of course
I don't think we need to build it for today's current need. I think we should look out.
Of course, the other thing I can see would be some of my constituents complaining about us creating a junkyard out there in Oak Creek Canyon.
I wonder about that,
too.
We don't want a junkyard in Oak Creek Canyon, do we?
You're right.
We
don't want that.
At 131.
So use the cars as riprap in the creek.
I think we gave up on that strategy a while ago.
At one point in time, we had a seizure of a semi-trailer, too, where we had a bunch of stuff in a semi-trailer.
We still have a trailer. It's not a semi. It was back from...
Well,
probably the early 2000s when we had that meth lab.
Yeah.
And we still have that trailer today, and it's full of stuff, which is in an impound yard.
So there's got to be some kind of a date at which you really can dispose of this stuff. Are you telling me we have to keep these things forever?
No, but the trailer comes in real handy because we have been using that trailer to store old equipment for our patrol vehicles and other things. So
that's all right up there, really.
It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
It's basically become a storage.
Yeah.
Sounds like you have what you need, right?
Yeah. So get with Ray, find out, have him get with his brother bosses and see if there's something that we can do to help you along, save some money, and accomplish the task.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all I have.
Maybe you can get him on the golf course. That's not working out for them.
Tim, come on.
So you were down on me, so you haven't given us an update other than your last written one, so you still haven't, we're still rolling through employee, I'm still having turnover too, since we still have a few minutes with you.
We haven't lost any, we just haven't had a hell of a time trying to get people hired. And it takes us forever.
So 1.7 unemployment rate.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
No, I get it. But we've had some testings, and... we've got some good candidates. They're in the background phases right now, but as you know, it just takes a long time to get through all of our
right.
process.
Do you have a lot of single, unmarried individuals that work in your department?
I wouldn't say a lot. I'd say it's
mostly
probably,
couples.
Yeah, younger couples.
There was an article in today's Colorado Sun about these communities that are building buildings for teachers. And then I saw, it was interesting, I still get these requests for bid, and CSP is building a facility in Glenwood Springs for employee housing.
I don't know, it's probably not a bad idea. But
so the two new additions that we added on January 1st, and we allowed it to go out and start advertising, are either one of those full, or are you still behind one on one of them?
Well, we lost three of our old ones right at the beginning of the year,
right,
or end of the year.
That's what I thought.
And so we moved one out from detentions, and he had filled Curtis Lutcher's position and is currently working there. We've got two more that we can move out, but we can't take from the jail that many at one time, because trying to replace them with people that have a little bit of experiences, that's been kind of difficult as well. And so we can't keep cutting the jail short, because when we do, then it creates bad problems for the jail.
Bottom line, you haven't, you're not even fully staffed up to the point before we provided the two new FTEs.
Right. And that's kind of the point behind part of this conversation, is that when we do get a vacancy, it takes us forever to try to fill that vacancy. It takes a long time.
So, you feel like within a 2 or 3 months, you'll get fully staffed, including those two new FTEs, and then we all recognize that you'll have turnover. That's part of the reason that you wanted the two new FTEs, so that when you lost people, you didn't drop below
correct
that.
So, right now, the game plan is we have three applicants that, if they pass all the background phases, poly and psych and all that, that we could hire right now for patrol. We've got a female from Mesa County, who's post-certified, that applied with us. She did really well. And then we have a couple, a married couple from Larimer County that wants to move up this way. We've got two right now that are in the background phases to move into the jail, because we're still short one there. But if we can fill that position and have another one, then I can pull another one out of the jail who's post-certified. So we have a couple of different options for filling these post-certified positions.
So you have a way to get to being truly fully staffed, including the new two FTEs, recognizing that over time you'll be falling below that number with turnover, but at least you won't be falling below that critical threshold that was your concern prior.
Exactly.
It's got two more to absorb the turnover.
Yeah.
So the ones coming out of the jail, do they still have to go through your training?
Yeah, they still have like 16 weeks at FTO.
Yeah, FTO, that's what it was. Yeah.
So it still takes 3 months to get them spun out.
Sounds good.
The other thing I was just going to mention, I had, since we've got a few minutes, is these last couple of storms.
What storms?
Caused us some pretty serious issues. I mean, the storm, and I was in D.C. when we had the bad storm. And so I was getting calls from deputies who were stuck in the middle of the highways who couldn't move. We had to call tow trucks out to come pull our deputies out of the snowbank that was in the middle of County Road 14 or wherever. And it was brought to my attention that Road and Bridge was not out and they were not plowing those roads. And so I think for when we have situations like this, we need to have an emergency plan of how we're going to at least get somebody out where if we have to get to somebody in a life or death situation, that we can have somebody help us get to where we need to go. That was pretty frustrating.
Better communication, yes.
It was an issue for me. My wife, Donna, had the flu right in the middle of that. She was running a temperature of 103, and I spent several hours punching out to get to the county road, and I realized when I got out there, well, that was a waste of time. I'm not going anywhere from here,
Yeah. So it was a little bit frustrating for some of my staff that were trying to answer calls, and they couldn't get anywhere.
I bet.
Well, and we had road graders out there. Were out there all day and couldn't get home, to run out of fuel.
Then get fuel to them.
Yeah.
Ray came in here on that Friday afternoon, and he said they usually can go 8 or 10 hours from when they fuel
that's
up.
What
and
any fuel take
right,
like 8
and
hours.
They just weren't making it that long. Yeah. And they were getting stuck, and it was crazy. But I don't disagree with you. I mean, I don't think we can expect that we're going to have a lot of snow events like that. I mean, everyone I've talked to says it's the biggest they've seen in a really long time. But
I've never seen one this bad.
Yeah, we need some clearer. I mean, just again, seeing Ray come into our office and asking questions and saying, like, we didn't have a clear plan for what we do in that.
So, you know, short of shutting down all the roads, declaring an emergency and the rest, you know, and you know, again, we have our policies, and even then the road and bridge has their policies, and some of them even go out, you know, a second time during some of those heavy, you know, those heavy roads, 14, 129, and the rest. But I mean, CDOT was no better, so we all got stuck that
way.
So.
No, it was.
You guys have a couple of snowmobiles, don't you?
That was the next thing on my list.
Oh.
Those snowmobiles
are old.
Well, they're old, and they're four strokes, and they're really heavy. And so we had a death up north, and so with our snowmobiles, even if you're a good rider, can't use those snowmobiles to get back there to deal with situations like that. And then if we did have a situation where we needed to get our snowmobiles and go try to rescue somebody, we had to call search and rescue because they have the right sleds.
Right.
Our sleds.
Power sleds.
Yeah, our sleds won't.
They're for trail sleds.
So help me understand why and when you would be handling something like that rather than search and rescue.
So just like the other night when we couldn't get anywhere on our patrol vehicles, you know, if we had somebody that was in dire need of law enforcement or being rescued or something, we already have people on staff. We have snowmobiles. We can leave the office on a snowmobile and be down in the stagecoach in 20 minutes if you know how to ride. Most of our people know how to ride.
You'd be exceeding the speed limit.
You'd be exceeding the speed limit a little bit, but at that point in time, you can't see the road, you can't see the signs, so who cares? But no, my point is that we can, you know, then we have a situation like we had Friday off sea days. If we did have people that were working there, they couldn't have gotten to this area with the sleds that we have. So our sleds are 13 years old, and it's not that they're in bad shape. They're actually in really good shape.
No, they haven't been, from our understanding, they haven't been ridden that much.
They have. They probably
have. They probably still have
700 miles. They've got some value to them. But they're not the right sleds for doing that kind of stuff. If you're just
on the trailer,
sleds,
right?
What's that?
You have a trailer?
Yeah, we've got a trailer. So I know we tried to get to update our snowmobiles this year, and you know, that got pushed. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
I think, personally, I'll just speak for myself, that I would be more interested in supporting that idea if we knew what the trade-in value on those might be, so we knew what the net cost to the county would be of replacing them.
I'm guessing that the two sleds we have would probably be worth around $2,000 each. They're not worth that much.
Yeah.
Right. How frequently do you need snowmobiles?
Chris uses them all the time. To get to the towers to do work on. Our staff, they use them to do forest patrol, but they're pretty limited where they can go.
So do you have a log on?
We
that would what we would like to see.
Do we have a log for when they get used?
Yeah.
I don't know that we have a log. I know when Chris needs them, he'll just say, hey,
the other thought, too, do we need to replace them both at the same time?
So when we deploy them, we always send two out at together.
You can't send them out to search and rescue?
If there was a search and rescue, if it was a search and rescue call, but if we had a different type of call, and when our guys are doing forest patrol and they're going back in the backwoods, we never send somebody by themselves to do that. It's just not a good practice.
You can't put two people on a snowmobile?
Okay. I mean, you can't.
Two people,
especially the two ones. No.
Yeah. I'm not the snowmobile expert around here. I got you.
You know, I guess we're still struggling here. It's the want versus the need and the rest and measuring it all back to everything else. So,
well, I guess the question that I was thinking on, I'm sure there's examples of citizen volunteer patrols that would help out in times of emergency. If we had a list of names and people that would, I'm sure we'd find 10 or 15 guys that would be happy to say, yeah, you got an emergency, give me a call, you know, we'll show up and help you out, or we'll lend you our snowmobile or something. I don't know.
Well, that's why we have search and rescue. Even search and rescue has a hard time keeping
that is search and rescue's job.
Staff.
But search and rescue, the people supply their own snowmobiles?
No.
No, search and rescue.
Yeah.
And the grant money is up by them.
So, like our situation we had Friday, you know, Chris says, hey, well, we've got the side by side, we can go up there, but once you get that thing off the trail, it's stuck.
Yeah.
So I guess the other thought would be, rather than the sheriff's department owning the snowmobiles, what if we just supplemented search and rescue and said, oh, by the way, sheriff gets first dibs in a crisis?
I don't know how that would work.
Yeah,
they gotta have
and
their
we
stuff.
Already do supplement search and rescue. They already work for him, anyhow.
Oh, that's right.
So
you
why,
do have first
I mean, why don't you have access to search and rescue's equipment?
Because we've
you know, I think in the right situation, I could call them up and say, hey, we need.
Right.
And they probably would not hesitate.
It would be bad for them if they did.
Yeah.
But we've kind of championed them to get their own resources,
that's
their
right.
own revenues as much as they can to mm-hmm. to get their own you know, equipment that they need. So, yeah.
Find out how much it costs.
And I think also really articulating the need. I mean, even if you don't have a log, an estimate of how frequently they're used, what you know, how often we might have a situation where they'd be required would just be really helpful to understand that.
So I'm guessing they're 13 years old this year, and I'm trying to remember. I think they've had about 1,300 miles on them each. So that's 1,000 miles a year.
Yeah, I would say they're probably
no, that's 100 miles. A year,
07 models, yeah.
Which is not much.
Right.
And I think that's one reason why they've lasted as long as they have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like any other piece of equipment, you know. You hope you never have to use it, but when you need it now. You don't need
right.
it
absolutely.
As part of our climate action plan, we should be, you know, using two-cycle motors instead of four-cycle.
Well, I think
four-cycle.
Get them cross-country skiing.
That's the problem. When they're four-cycle, they weigh that much.
Oh.
So to get
you
same,
want to go back to a two-cycle.
Yes.
Oh.
To get the same power you need out of a four-stroke.
Well, that's not very environmentally friendly. Sure.
The oil burns clean. What can I say?
We can buy a lot of sets of cross-country skis.
There we go. Yep.
So the other thing, too, you know, and I know you've been doing looking and the rest, so, you know, even if we had some type of a, you know, a thing with the dealer out here, too, to just, you know.
Trade them in?
No, not to trade them in, just to go get a demo.
Rent them.
Just you rent it, use a rental demo for whenever. Keep the ones that we got for now. Or I don't know.
What are you going to do? You have an emergency? You're going to go negotiate with the dealer?
No, we already have a deal made, struck up front. You just go pick them up and go get them. I don't know, whatever. So
well, I'll look into it. I'll try to get you guys some numbers.
That'd be great.
Some different options if there are any out there. So. I mean, there might be an option where we could go.
Yeah, if you don't put any miles on them.
they're
just a year older.
I think if they were easier to ride sleds, they'd probably get more miles. I've never ridden them, and I'm a pretty good snowmobiler, but everybody tells me they're a beast.
Yeah,
and when you get one stuck.
It's stuck.
Yeah. The new ones are...
You can get them stuck.
So yeah. All right, well, thanks for your time. I appreciate
yep.
it.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Do you want to go first or second, Doug?
Well, I'll go first, I guess. I didn't go through and grade them around.
Yeah.
I think we
discussed. I started doing
we
that.
Discussed the other day. You know, the discussion between the two self, the two with between Peckham, and then the other one was the guy that had the
Appian,
the beach front property.
His Pebble Beach wallpaper.
Pebble Beach.
Appian is that
Appian,
organization?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know. I thought about it some more, and you know, personally, I mean, there's some pluses about knowing Drew, and then there's some minuses about knowing Drew. But I actually think I'd like to go with. I personally would like to go with Peckham myself because I think that being a little more Colorado firm, and I don't think there was six and a half pound with the other one, the difference between all four of them, in reality speaking. So, but I do think that we can push do it a little harder and try to get, you know, the potential to get some more local candidates myself. And
I realize that Drew, in his own nature, can be pretty abrasive in himself, so I think we could also use that to our advantage. So that would be my take on it. Affion being number two.
So I did some thinking over the weekend. I actually dreamed about it extensively, apparently. It's on my mind. Not surprising. You know, I know that, Doug, you had expressed you weren't particularly interested in SGR, but after thinking about it a little bit, I think that they actually would be my preference. I understand the question about having more of a personal touch, and I guess my sense is it was probably not a great choice for them to have us talk to what's-her-face, Kristen.
No, but didn't do any good.
But I think in the end that our interaction with them would be directly with Larry, and it would probably look a lot like everybody else. I guess I don't know that 100%, but I feel fairly confident that we still would get that personal interaction, and I think that their ability to bring a large pool of people to the table is probably the strongest of all of these guys. I appreciate how broad their network is and their relationship with the Managers Association is beyond just recruiting. And so I feel like they're going to give us the best breadth of choices. I also really appreciated that they said they would give us everybody who applied to them. I didn't hear anybody else say that. You know, they said they would give us the tier A, B, and C and kind of let us know everyone who had applied so that I appreciate that. I'm not sure that the other people wouldn't be willing to do that if we asked them, but I like that that's part of their practice because I think one of the things, I know we're hiring them specifically to filter for us a little bit, but I worry about not seeing some of the applicants and having more filtering than maybe we want. And then I, you know, probably my second choice would be Appian. I, after sort of reflecting on the interaction with Drew, and I don't know how, I think I might have a hard time working with him, honestly. I mean, I know that you guys have more past experience with him than I do, but he was pretty self-aggrandizing, and I think I would really struggle with that. Yeah, I think I would really struggle with that in trying to do this work, and it was hard for me to imagine him really listening to what we want and need without kind of coloring that with his own opinions. And maybe he could do that, I don't know, but that was kind of what I saw there.
Okay, my turn. After Drew's presentation, I was swayed at first. I thought it was a really good presentation Drew did. It really surprised me. And after that, I was really bending over backwards. I said, I certainly don't want to discriminate against Drew because he worked for Garfield County. I mean, that really doesn't mean anything or anything about his style. But then upon further reflection, I think I just felt like if I had to choose between Drew and Affion, I think I would choose Affion. Not so much because of what Affion brings to the table, but the concern that I would have with Drew, and I don't know if this is true or not, it's just a concern that I have, is that it feels like he might have a more already filtered list of people to bring to us. Not that he said that, not that I can prove that, but I kind of felt that way to me. Just that.
So all of these guys are going to be working for us.
I understand.
And they damn sure better do what we tell them to do.
And previously I had ruled out, not ruled out, but I was a little bit down on SGR because of the, well, the fact that they're from Texas and a lot of their placements are in Texas. And also,
I too dislike Texas.
It's not that I just, no, I mean, it could have been any state. I mean, if,
it's you know, all good.
If I'm all their work was in California, all their work was in Nebraska, whatever. And then finally, what it comes down to me that if I'm, say, selecting between SGR and Affion, it comes down to this choice between do you want the larger organization that appears to have a lot of resources and people, you know, backing up what they're doing and their management training and their wide range of contacts through the management training, rather than an individual like the from Affion was Scott was his name, right? Wasn't it?
Yes,
Scott, who I actually liked quite a bit, and I liked his presentation, and I liked the way he answered a lot of the questions. But on the other hand, I feel a little bit more comfortable with the larger organization and the wider range of resources. I would not have selected SGR or leaned towards them without the conversation we had with Larry, and he seems to be have a personality that I could get along with. Honestly, between the four of them, they all charge virtually the same amount of money. They all four on paper present all of the this basically the same qualifications. On a certain level, it's a little bit of a crapshoot, but like you say, these people work for us, and ultimately, if we don't like what we're doing, we'll shut them down and start over again. So I'm going to cast my vote for SGR because of their resources.
So they're on the bottom of my list, but I'm fine. Let's get on.
Well, so I think there's, I mean,
I'm what you like about the big firm part of it is what I dislike.
Right.
You know, I would
personally have time.
You know, and again, I don't know that anybody, you know, and you said you like, you know, bringing all the applicants. That's all right. You know, we're going to see plenty of applicants, and we're going to see a lot of paper and paper stuff, too. So right. I'm all right. We just move on. Let's get going.
I mean, so there's two options, and I hear what you're saying. There's two options. We either go with SGR because Tim and I selected it as our first choice, or we go with Appian because all three of us have it as our second choice. I mean, I
don't know. I wasn't as enlightened by Larry. I mean, Larry was... He's pretty dry, but, you know, maybe he's pretty thorough, too. So, you know, and again, I don't think there's... Again, I'm fine with moving forward with our one choice. So let's move forward.
I have
okay. No, that, I mean, I hear Doug working through the consensus process to figure this out, that's fine.
But I think, you know, I think doing an incumbent upon us, I think more as a larger firm to work Larry harder than we would... We'd have, I don't know, but then you hear, I mean, all these guys had nine people they're working on at any point in time.
He said he does, he personally, though, Larry doesn't take more than five at a time. I support that as long as, Doug, you think you can work with them.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I guess I would suggest, though, that we call some references, especially since we have our neighbors here, the city of Craig, as a reference. Before we finalize
I think that's pretty important because it wasn't Peter Brexis. It was the one before that I think we didn't turn out so well.
Thank you.
Well, the contact they list is Panic Bar.
I'll call John. He still has the auto parts store, right?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
So I don't know who was hired under him, but was it both of them?
No. Who was the one that...
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure who was mayor when they hired the guy from Texas. What's his name left?
You call Ponitor. I'll call Ray.
I can just say maybe call Ray also.
Okay. Ray would probably
also. And I've got time tomorrow. You're going to AGNC, right?
Yes, I am.
So this is 2018 for Craig, Colorado.
Which was a guy that didn't work out, probably.
So Ray would have. Me and Ray would have known. So call Pine.
Well, Ray would
and then I'll call. Yeah. I'll call.
The
well, and I'll call whatever. I mean, if there's some other
Well, so here's a couple others that maybe are worth calling. I'm not going to look at their list of references. I'm going to look at who they've done recruitments for that we might, you know, care about their opinion. So I see Vail is on here from 2019, so just last year. Gunnison, but that's back from 2016.
Actually, I would have some contact from city.
City?
It says City of Gunnison, yep.
I have somebody I can contact, City of Gunnison.
Okay, I assume it's City of Gunnison, but actually it doesn't really say. It just says Gunnison. Well, it says population 5,500, so it would be the city.
That's right, it wouldn't have been Gunnison County because they've had, Matthew's been down there for quite a few years.
Great. So you want to call them?
I'll call them.
Get a reference there?
City of Gunnison.
Great.
He was, should have been the mayor then.
North Glen is listed in 2016.
Oh, no, I won't have. He was the city manager. He was the mayor of Crested Butte.
Oh, so they did another one for Craig in 2016. So I bet they hired the guy you're talking about as well as Ponfar. Or not Ponfar, Brixis. So there's two different ones listed in Craig. It's funny.
So I'll see Ray tomorrow then, and I'll talk to
you'll
him.
You'll ask him. That sounds good.
Okay.
And actually, I might call this guy in Crested Butte. I don't know, because he was the mayor then in Crested
Gunnison?
Butte. He was the mayor of Crested Butte.
But he might have some
insight of how it went with.
That sounds good. And I guess, is there anyone else on the reference list or any of these other organizations that we feel like we want to contact? So they have Pitkin County listed, but I don't know when from. It doesn't have a year. So executive recruitment clients. So Pitkin's on there. Have any of those commissioners been there a long time?
Steve's been there for a while.
Well, somebody can get a hold of Rachel.
Yeah. I just saw her. I just saw her down in Denver.
What year were they at Pitkin County?
It doesn't say the year. It's just listed as one of their executive recruitment clients. They have two different lists in here. One is broken down by year, and then one is broken down by client. So it's a little confusing. I'm not sure when Pitkin was. Do you want to call Rachel?
How about the Colorado City and County Management Association? They're listed as a reference. Would there be any value in calling them? Denise Taylor, executive director?
We're all probably members.
Now you can, yeah, they're probably all are members, but Denise...
I mean... Just
being a member and having them as a reference is...
I don't know that she would...
Well, they listed them as a reference.
I don't know
Colorado
she would know about their skill sets.
Huh?
She would only know about their skill sets if, you know, managers that came in spoke with her about it.
Yeah. It's worth the call. And the Colorado Municipal League, although Sam Mamet isn't the director anymore.
No.
Who is the director?
Well, Doug's been in contact with him recently.
I'll call those two tomorrow. But hey, you know. So basically, you're going to probably hear nothing. Maybe you hear something terrible. You know, which is what.
Did someone want to try to get in touch with Steve or Rachel regarding Pitkin County? Okay.
I've got a year, so
I don't know what the deal is with that. But okay, great. So
you didn't know what the deal was about what?
Well, it just doesn't say the year. They're listed as a client, but it doesn't say year. I mean, it lists them as an executive recruitment client.
I think you're going to get some more out of Steve and Rachel than you're not going to get anything out of Kevin Bomber. You're not going to get anything out of.
Agreed.
Yeah, because they're just. City County Managers Association either.
So I do know some folks on the town council in North Glen. They're one of their more recent recruitments. Do you want me to call them?
I don't see any harm in asking the question.
Okay.
Basically, most people are going to say, oh, yeah, they were fine. You might run across one or two people and go, those suckers, the ABS.
And that's what you're really
looking
for. That's
what you're really looking for,
yeah.
For sure.
Okay, I can call some folks in North Glen. I'm trying to remember who's still on the town council. Some of them have graduated to other positions.
Hire Colleen.
Yeah.
Well, I think Emma, well, maybe she was Westminster. Anyway, she's a commissioner now in Adams County.
Yeah. She's quite the bright light.
I really like her a lot. Okay, so it sounds like we're good. And I think then what we're saying is, assuming those references check out all right, we want to move forward.
Yeah.
And Tim, you'll handle that? Or
yeah, okay. Well, I told everybody that I would call them tomorrow.
Okay, so I think tomorrow we do our reference checks.
By the end of the day, I'd like to call somebody. It may require me giving you a phone call or sending you a text message.
Okay.
Same with you, depending on what you're at.
Yep, that sounds great.
I'll be here all day.
I can probably do it tonight.
All right, so now we are probably ready to go into executive session.
Do we need Deanna for that? Right?
Yeah, let me make sure I have my...
We do need her? Yes. Brad?
Yeah, bring her in.
Okay.
So what are we going to actually talk about?
We're going to talk about the list of...
the four?
Yeah, and I've got another name. I'm not sure.
All right, you're on.
We'll go off. Mics.
Oh, we're going off with the mics?
Yeah.
Why are we going off?
I don't know. She got it on record?
No, she's recording.
Oh, okay. So leave them on.
Yeah, leave them on. So why don't we talk about... timeline first. That's probably the easiest thing to talk about, right?
Yeah, and so let's work backwards. We were hoping to have someone by mid-March at the latest, right?
Yeah,
well,
that was our goal.
Well, that would be an interesting question. I'm not sure. Has anybody talked to Tom about that concept?
Having someone in mid-March?
Yeah, we did.
We did?
Yeah.
We talked about getting somebody in to have a couple of weeks with you before you leave?
Well, or at least a couple of weeks here. That's our decision.
Right. No, I know.
And we got an open desk.
No, I think Tim is asking Tom's opinion about
what the value of that is.
Even there always makes value out of it. So whatever you guys want to do.
I mean, it intuitively it would seem to make some sense to have that individual around for a couple of weeks so that you could clue them in to some of the nuances of what's going on here in the county and letting them know. You know, how things have been done. And
you know, that talk on the phone, either way.
So what I'm hearing from you is that if for some reason we fail to get somebody here on March 15th, they could come in cold and still do okay?
I think they could.
Okay.
I'm going to leave some notes anyways.
Okay.
So then brings up the question. So do we want to do that? I mean, if...
That's why I'm asking the question.
Okay.
If you want to do that, then I'll...
I mean, I said by the 15th, and I kind of thought maybe that sounded like a good idea, so we weren't hitting a brick or maybe a perceived brick wall, and that we would have the opportunity.
I mean, at least you have the 2 weeks of like, here's where the bathrooms are, like that, you know, that kind of, so that we don't have to do it. I mean, honestly, I mean, that kind of stuff is, it happens.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to see the downside of it.
I agree.
There may not be as much upside as we think, but... It's hard to see the downside.
Well, and you know, maybe we don't need 2 weeks either. You know,
maybe
it's a week. It might take us that long to get somebody on board.
I think
we've had the discussion of, you know, if we hire somebody outside, you know, we're probably going to need to find housing for them.
Yeah.
I think we need to have that conversation to find housing for them too.
I think we should shoot for the 15th or the week of the 15th, knowing that there's some possibility that
it won't happen.
I mean,
okay.
Are we all good on that?
I'm good on that. Yeah.
So you're going to have to tag along for...
That's what you guys want to share.
So one of the things in reading, not that they come out and say it, but in reading the...
You can ask them what they see that value too.
Yeah, that's true. In reading through that stuff, it sounds like they're all ready to move pretty quickly. That was the sense that I had. It's not like they didn't need 30 days notice. It all sounds like they're available like right now, right?
I mean, pretty much.
I thought so too. It was all kind of the conversation we had with Dan and Tom, anyhow. That
right.
these guys do.
They do.
But still, the sooner that
stay away from your wife,
select one, the better.
I mean,
we can select somebody and say, "Well, we don't want you here for a month." It's not like we select somebody and we're obligated.
Well, we're not talking a month. I mean, today's the 17th. So if we're looking at the week, I mean, we're not going to have someone selected until at least the end of next week at the very earliest if we moved really quickly, right?
By the 28th or something.
Yeah.
27,
28th. And so probably, I mean, if we're talking about
so optimistically, we would still be selecting somebody on March, the first week of March, to hope to go to work on the 15th.
So what if we shot for Zoom conferences on Wednesday, the 26th?
I am wide open that day.
Yeah, because I'm going to Club 20 the next day. It seemed like you had something going on the 27th and the 28th.
No, I had your Club 20 going on, so 26th would be great. Yeah,
it's open. It's an open day for me, yep, too. So that's our goal, set up Zoom conferences for the 26th.
Let me hold that day then. We have our Economic Development Council meeting, which is in the morning at 8, but we're done at 9.
Which means we would need to ideally give these people a week's notice. Or,
well, I would go in tomorrow, this afternoon or tomorrow, and well, after tomorrow.
Well, I guess
tonight.
We've got 4 right now. You think you might have a 5th. There's a 6th one I want to talk to you about here.
Okay.
That Chip told me about, gave me contact info for. But that would be as many as we'd want to interview anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
So we shouldn't have too much. Matter of fact, 4 would probably make more sense.
Well, and I don't know that we need to interview all 4 of them after we get, if we get the information, we could go through and do a pre-selection on, right, come down to 3. So
okay.
If we've had 3 people that actually asked and want to be, and if you want to give me that guy's name, I could work on that too.
You now might know him too.
So if we...
Well, so we're theoretically...
Let me finish the comment. So if we then take our long list of 6, and go down and do interviews on 3, I think that would be doing our due diligence in my mind.
I think so.
Do you think we can accomplish that today?
Identify who we want to interview?
Yeah.
Well, since we don't have 1 and I need to... Maybe
you need to, maybe not. Probably not. So... If we waited until Monday the 24th and scheduled time on Monday the 24th to have that discussion and select a group of finalists, I guess they should be willing to, or I guess we could try to get them to do a Zoom conference on the 26th. If they couldn't, we can do the same thing we did with Drew, which was, you know, do it a day or 2 later. But
I think that's pretty late to try to get them, ask them to interview the 24th and then hope to interview that same week.
Okay.
I mean, I think...
We need to make some.
I think we need to decide this week, whether it's today or it's tomorrow or whatever, but...
Did you think you were going to be able to be around for Bennett's thing at 2 o'clock on Friday?
This Friday?
Yeah.
So you're thinking if we're already going to be here, maybe we could...
3 o'clock.
So we have a CCAT governing board call at 3, but I could do it before the Bennett thing.
That'll be tough for me because I'm going to be...
Where's the Bennett thing?
So here's what he's doing. 12 o'clock, he's got a town hall at Colorado Mountain College.
Okay.
At 1:30, he's doing a housing authority event over at the Alpenglow. And then at 2 o'clock...
That's the new housing...
The new housing building project, yep.
Okay.
And then at 2 o'clock, and I still don't have confirmation from Matt Kirker that he wanted to do an affordable housing roundtable with the commissioners and a group of other housing stakeholders.
Okay.
Theoretically here at 2 o'clock.
Okay, well, that sounds fine. I would make the 2 o'clock. I don't think I need to make the one at the...
So I can show up late to the CCAT governing board call if I need to.
So that's not he's 3 at, though, right?
It's at 3.
Yeah.
So he'll be trying to get out of here.
He won't be all the way till 3,
you don't think?
If it is, it'll be done. His people will be dragging about the door at 3 o'clock. So worst case scenario, and then we'll have an opportunity between now and then. You've given us copies of the people that you have. And it'll just be, we can meet for 10 minutes.
I would think so. I mean, and I think we can figure it out, but
I think if one of us wants to interview him, we probably should. I mean, I don't think we should cross anyone off unless all three of us agree that we should cross him off.
And if
we end up with a four that we're
interviewing. And again, I'm all right even if we interview five especially if we're going to limit it to 10 minutes. And we did discussion about the local candidate. So the local candidate would probably be good to interview him just because of what. So.
And the interviews, I don't think, need to be 45 minutes long either.
No.
I think we can do that 30 minutes max.
I'd say absolute max.
But that's practically what we're going to schedule
because we'll schedule 30.
It's got to be on 30-minute increments.
Well, it's not Zoom's not the issue, but...
Yeah, it is.
I promise you.
You can't do quarter-hour increments.
No, I promise you it's not the issue.
Okay.
You can do Zoom however you want.
You can however you want. So, worst-case scenario, even if we had six, we could still get it done in 3 hours next Wednesday.
Yes.
And likely we're going to limit it.
So I think we need to decide who we're interviewing on Friday so we can let them know and give enough time to schedule it. Because otherwise we're going to end up with people like, oh, well, I can't do it till next week.
So on Friday, and I would have these guys. Who's going to do?
And I'd be have Deanna prepped to send out the emails to all of the prospective ones, organizing their times and all of that.
So I am available on the 26th from 9 until 4.
I'm not available until 10:30.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather be in here at 10:30 too.
But we just 11. I need to be done by 4. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we're not going to be taking.
Well, it depends also when they're available.
Oh.
I mean, we're giving them such short notice. They may say.
Well, you know, with the permanent ones, we just assigned them a time. It wasn't like asking them.
I know, but I don't think we have as much leverage in this situation. We need someone who wants to do this.
So let's schedule 10:30 to 4.
We need to be a little more accommodating with them.
10:30 to 4.
Let's do it.
So I'm still confused then.
So this Friday.
No, I understand that. So am I going to just give the names to Deanna and then...
On Friday?
Yes. On Friday, we're going to decide, are we going to interview them all? Right now we have four, maybe five, maybe six.
So Friday,
we'll narrow it down to whatever we choose, which may be three, maybe five, maybe
and
six.
And then we'll ask Deanna to contact them and let them know and schedule them for interviews.
Okay. And I will give them a heads up now that we know that isn't. If I give them a heads up now, that means we're going to be interviewing them. We're not.
I think yes and no. I mean, you could say we're looking at interviews on the 26th and we're determining who we'd like to interview. I mean, if in the end you say, I'm sorry, we chose not to interview you, I don't think that's the end of the world.
Okay. I haven't looked at these either.
Yeah, so. I haven't.
I mean, you just got them. So, well, I sent them to you, but you just got them. So, anyhow.
What did we say, 10:30 to 4?
4.
Okay. So, now back to Friday the 20th. We're going to do a 3 p.m.
Sorry, Friday the 21st.
Maybe I should use the correct month.
Okay.
That would help. That would be helpful. Hold on. Give me a second here. Maybe that's what's happening to those missing.
You're missing a month or what?
Yeah.
I found my
missing appointments. I just have
the way my phone schedules things. I find things on totally random days. Sometimes I'm like, wait, I knew that appointment went somewhere.
So now Friday the 21st,
after
3 2. p.m.
Yeah,
I'll say roughly 2:30.
Great, let's do it.
Select interim finalists. Okay. Well, we're zipping right along here. What else is there to talk about?
Well, we
We still got to go through this list.
We need to talk about the interim position.
So are we going, we're going through this list for the purposes of the interim. I guess my question, and I'm happy to do it now. I mean, this is probably we should since we have the time. I was just going to throw out there, is that something that we need to do before we select the interim? I mean, it's not really going to affect who we select. It's only going to affect the instructions that we give to that individual.
Yeah, I think we should just talk about it while we have the time, though, right?
Okay.
I mean, I have a couple comments, and then I have a couple questions for Tom, just some clarifications on some of these things, personally.
Can I go make a
that I'd like to talk through. But I agree with you that we may not have a...
I can print you a copy, Jim. I can print you a copy.
That'd be great.
You know, we may not need a final set in stone. We may talk through it a little bit with whoever's selected as well.
No, I think we need to have kind of, I mean, I think we need to discuss the working list here.
Yeah, I agree.
It says that I can't print because of the problem with the printer setup.
I can do it. I just printed mine today. Have it close to hand.
There, I got mine.
You good?
Old-fashioned copier.
I mean, I could print mine, too. I just have a... So Doug will have two, and he won't know where the other one came from.
Found this in my briefcase when I was down here. Yeah.
You're stealing our records.
Thank you.
Old fashioned copier ate my paper too.
So you don't have one?
No, I've got it.
He saved it
I took it out of the jaws. Life jaws.
Should we just start at the top?
Sure.
Excuse me, I just lost my file.
You need a copy of this? I could go make you a copy.
Well, I think the first one is obvious, right, which is providing oversight to the staff. I would imagine we would want the interim county manager to continue that, provide, you know, check-ins with the department heads and continuing, be the person they can go to if they have questions or they need anything, right?
Yeah, I think that probably continues to be appropriate. I mean, if we don't do that, we go into the second mode, which was we allocate which ones of these to whose department.
As chairperson, I would get to pick, so I'm taking YVRA.
So who do I get stuck with? Does that mean Doug gets second choice and I'm stuck with the leftovers?
Well, you're already working with planning.
And then I think the other thing is obviously just identifying that that person will need to provide some extra support to the interim planning director, but I think that's appropriate for that person to do that.
Does that inform our potential selection?
I think management of our to inform our potential selection. I don't think so. I think management of these department heads should be something anybody can do.
Well, God, I hope
any
so.
Manager.
My comment should be that they should not need that much managing right now.
Right.
We should be in just kind of crisis mode, and you know, bring in crises and
Well, and but you're right in terms of planning department and also maybe human resources.
Just providing additional support.
Yep.
And I think we could identify that for that person. You know, we're aware of a couple of departments that are going to maybe need some extra support.
Or not?
Yes, I think so.
I don't think anybody has. Is there mic on?
Mine is.
Mine is. Oh, okay. I think I see my one.
Okay.
Just distracting just a little bit. One of the big items, obviously, that'll be ongoing during the transition period will be budget development. Mm-hmm. So is that a particular skill set that we might want to be thinking about with the interim?
Any of these people, I haven't seen your resumes, so I'm sure that they've done budgets.
Yeah, I think they're good.
We don't need any specials.
Based on what we're talking about needing anyhow, I think it's going to be the interaction of the department head. More than actual budgets.
Well, and I think we probably just let that person know we're aware that the budget development is going to happen while you're here, and we would expect you to lead that process.
I think the big thing is going to be the interaction between the three of us, the top down,
right,
and then down spread out to the department heads, and us defining a clear budget process after Tim sent us the last and Tom sent us the last.
I haven't had a chance
to look at it. I haven't
had a chance. Looked at it either. I did, yeah. So it had 9.5 hours for the community services. And we didn't meet at all with community services people at all, period.
We did a little. We met with the Humane Society, right?
Yeah, but yes.
We did some, yeah. So there's some places where we can do some more trimming. Yeah,
well, there probably should have been 9.5 hours. It just didn't take place.
Right.
Well, the rest of the schedule, it was pretty blasé. Yeah. The rest was all right. I don't get it.
Well, and I think the other portion of that, I mean, historically, correct me if I'm wrong, Helena has really supported scheduling those folks and the development of our office's budget and that sort of thing. And so there was transition in that position. So Kendra could step into doing some of that this year as well.
Yes.
Okay. Agenda development, I assume you're primarily supporting these two in doing that, right?
Yes.
And that's not a hugely time-consuming, but it has to be done.
So I guess my question, can we just give it to her, to Ken?
Well, and we've,
we need to
we've
have some
identified,
responsibility there.
We've also identified a role for the chair in helping with agenda development, so maybe it could be between those two and we just...
I agree.
Okay, great. And we could just refer Kendra to manager if needed, you know,
that's,
if there's additional support needed. Okay. Because you guys are having your weekly meetings, right? Yep.
We have one today?
I think it was canceled today for some reason.
So the accounts payable, definitely the interim needs to go through those. I guess we need to go through.
Meantime, I've asked Kendra to do it this next week. That gave you an opportunity to see how she reviews. I gave her some direction from what the month for, and the list. Make sure that she emails the list to you all.
That's fine.
So
there's a sign-off that happens, or what is it? How does this work? There's not a sign-off, you just review it?
I review it, and then I sign off.
There are sign-offs.
Okay.
I sign off to by email to accounting, let them know that I reviewed it, and I didn't have any problems with any of the vendor or with any of the payments. But I look at it in pretty good detail.
Yeah.
And then I sign off on it and say, yeah, you can go ahead and make the payments.
So don't you still have to sign off on all the supervisor's expense reports?
Yes.
The department heads?
I do.
Is that under payroll sign off? Did you group that in
No,
there?
That's expense.
It's separate.
Reports.
That goes to mine. So that goes to Eunice and notices on me to go in and sign off on vouchers.
Right.
So that is a job that I have, is to sign off on.
So we want you to continue doing that, but we want to make sure that we have the interim comes in and does that as well, because all of his reportees,
right?
Well, I mean, your expense report, and my expense report goes to him. His goes to mine.
Which I have not been getting any of, by the way.
There's
nothing.
There's one in
the I haven't submitted one since the beginning of January.
And I haven't been signing off on anybody's payroll.
You don't have to sign off on our payroll.
That.
Oh, okay.
That's been since we got the new, rid of.
But I haven't even been getting your and Eric's time off requests.
You know, I just made two today.
Okay.
So you should have those.
Okay.
If they did them in advance, I may have signed off on them before.
I just did two today.
Yeah.
And there was a problem with what I was seeing in my Munis inbox, but Helena came up and fixed it. So,
The interim will do the accounts payable review as well as the expense reports for department heads. Correct?
Yeah, but it's going to be complicated for that individual not knowing what the hell's going on, right?
Yeah, but
is it though? I mean, it's
well, Tom has all the history, and he'll see something. Who is Joe Blow? You know, why are we writing him a check?
Are you talking about accounts payable, or are you talking about expense reports? Because expense reports seems really straightforward.
Oh, expense.
You're talking about accounts payable.
I'm talking about accounts payable.
But we all see it, too. So if there was some, I mean.
We can work together.
And Doug reviews it in pretty good detail, obviously.
Pretty scrupulous.
Yeah, and I glance at it. So, I mean, if there was anything major, we could identify it as well.
But that's still a function that individual needs to perform.
Because they need to sign off on it.
Do we ever keep saying individual when we know it's going to be an old white guy?
You can do whatever you want.
Well, I'm talking about the interim.
I think that's all we got on the list, by the way.
The interim, I think we can say he.
I mean, we have no assumption that these guys are old, right?
No, and actually, I guess they may have a male-sounding name, but that doesn't mean they haven't gone through some change.
I think we're in the weeds on something that is not important to discuss. Let's carry on here. So then the next is the payroll sign-off, so I assume that continues.
Yeah.
I guess I had a question, Tom.
Yeah.
What does this mean? Public's work director, parentheses, for personal use of county vehicle.
Yeah, because Ray takes the vehicle home to Craig. We had to make a special provision to allow him to do that.
Rules. It's not a de minimis use, he has to declare the income for use of the vehicle.
Uh-huh.
So it's 3 hours a week that I sign off on for his
I see.
Use.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And but I assume he gets his wages grossed up too, right?
That's right. It's 3 hours worth of wages.
And
all he's doing is paying the taxes on
I know how
so
that
it's
works.
Not free.
Okay, that makes more sense. So you don't do payroll sign off for each of the department heads? Like if they have time off or anything
if they have time off, they do. That was the time off request.
And that's because they're all exempt.
Where are the time off requests on here?
The fourth bullet point right here under payroll sign off.
Payroll sign off.
Oh, got it. Okay, now I understand. Thank you.
So that individual has to do all of those things.
I think so.
I mean, there's nothing being left off of that part of the list.
I think number four, I mean, obviously that just is taking phone calls and emails. And
that's
the
right.
extent that you're doing that with community partners is probably going to be pretty small as an interim.
Probably.
But
this is part of the management role.
Yeah.
So taking phone calls and provide advice.
And the interim will probably take those phone calls and come and talk to us to find out.
Hope so.
Depends what it is.
Before, yeah.
Depends what the question is, but yeah.
Agreed. Okay. The next four are in question, correct?
I think brown bag lunch they need to keep, whether that's the structure they want or not. But, you know, meetings with the staff, I would think they need to keep. The other three, I guess I'm not sure. I would imagine not Northwest Colorado Broadband, and I would probably imagine not the Personnel Committee either. I don't know about the Executive Management Team because I don't understand exactly what they do.
Continue that role.
Pardon?
I don't know that we would continue that during the interim.
Yeah, I think we need to leave that. I don't think we need to probably continue it in the interim. I think we need to have some longer conversation.
I just might suspend.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, great. That's easy. And you're going to send Robert to the... Sorry, NCB.
Have you spoken to Robert?
I haven't yet, but I will. Well, I did briefly, but I told him I needed to have a conversation with him about it.
Well, Well, I think it's all good. I mean, especially if we're getting out of it. So, but again, he should be. I mean, and again, if he wants to have a conversation with us,
he may need to.
That we would have. That we've got his back, and you know what we want to see out of him. I mean, it makes a hell of a lot more sense for him to attend those meetings than it would be one of us.
Right, I agree. And you moved out of the president role, or you are moving out of the
president role.
Okay, great. Oh.
I did not know that. That's good to know.
I remember I saw that somewhere. So, the priority-based budgeting, we have Kendra kind of in place for that, right?
Yes.
But she's not. We talked about the fact that she can't be expected to drive the process. She's just the liaison that helps us understand how
I think
works.
Probably her with the support of the interim county manager just to keep things moving, right?
Well, I think it's going to be us that's going to keep this thing moving if it moves.
But I do think that it's going to move. Doug, come on. Don't roll your eyes too hard. I think what we really need, though, is someone to back Kendra up.
No, I agree.
Yeah. And
again,
we'll be
we're
there
still
too.
A ways from even understanding how this thing works, and so we still got to have some more time in here to figure out.
Right, you continue on those work sessions.
Yeah, I still want to see some more work sessions.
Yep, but I think we kind of
isn't that what we kind of said, that that's how we were going to actually continue to drive this?
Yep, ask people to come in and
come on up. And
I think it's not going to be fixed. It just happens to be that part day right now. It's almost gone. So we're just going to continue on, and we get interim.
And I think we want to let the interim know this is a project. We need you to back up Kendra on the implementation of this and communicate to the department heads. Great. I don't know, in terms of strategic plan implementation, what that's going to look like. And I think, I mean, looking at our agenda for Thursday, part of that is going to be just deciding what the implementation is and who's responsible for that. So I don't know that we need to assign that at this point.
No, I think we'll know more after Thursday.
Yeah.
BCC right now.
So yeah.
Because you're not going to be joining us for that, are you? Or are you?
No, I was thinking that you guys would.
I think that makes sense.
On your own.
I mean, I think to the extent that we identify some things that we want to be implemented, we're going to communicate that, and we're going to want the county manager to support that. But
it's us.
Yeah,
well,
I think so.
We'll know more after Thursday.
Right.
As we move forward.
Right.
So the next one's probably the bigger question.
The master plan. I know, and I had kind of, I mean, I've obviously been serving in that. I mean, Dan's only been gone, 12 hours? But, I mean, I've kind of been serving in that role. I'm fine with that. But I think there's also, as we've talked about, just a need to identify our relationship with staff and what that looks like. I don't want to get in a situation
I appreciate that. And I don't want you to get in that situation. And again, I've communicated that I think it's kind of all of our, you know, whether we grab her a half hour sometime, you know, just to, you know, I was in here at the Community Ag Alliance when she made her presentation. Uh-huh. You guys probably sat in.
I've been out to three of them now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty rote what she's doing right now.
I think it is, until
we get to the consultant phase.
Until we get to phase
two.
Well,
I actually was Googling executive sponsor the other day to understand what that is. And it's meant to be kind of giving that, first of all, backing up the person who's implementing, and then to communicate around how this fits in the priorities of the organization
and the
values
process,
and those.
With the process.
Yeah,
and
without actually dictating it.
Right, but it's really just backing up that person who's
So speaking of which, I know that Christy has made noises about shrinking the time frame, or that she's...
I don't think so.
Maybe shrinking's the wrong word, but she has expressed to me frustration with the plan that Chad put together.
Well, yeah, in that it's lacking some deep, important detail. I don't think she was... Troy has been making noise about the timeline.
And I don't know that we can make any judgment on any of this till we select a master plan consultant after we get the grant.
Right.
So we got the grant to come in first. Then we work on us, and whether it's one or two of us meeting with one or two of the planning commission to select the consultant, and then we work with the consultant to implement the game plan. I think we're still out here in the woods yet looking for the sunshine.
Well, I think the when is the grant? When do we find out about the grant?
It should be very soon. I think they met last week.
So the interim county manager is likely to be involved in helping to create the RFP.
Yeah, that's fine.
And in communicating with planning, and we've already said that.
Well, Julie's going to be able to do some of that too with the RFP.
Yeah.
Interim review.
I mean, the executive sponsor concept is just backing up Christie
and the process
and keeping things going.
But that might be a role that the interim could fulfill.
Well, what I would say is, so far the idea of this has really been via that steering committee. So if we want to keep that structure, then I think that structure makes sense, and having the interim participate there and serve in this role, I think makes a lot of sense.
I'm good with that.
If we want to go a different direction, I think we need to have a discussion with Planning Commission about how we move forward.
No, I think the Planning Commission's bought off on the Executive Committee. We've bought off on the Executive Committee. We don't want all three of us in there, we don't want to, you know, I don't want to be dictating, but we need to have some push, pull, and gather on the whole process, and I think your Executive Committee would do fine on that.
Especially when it comes time to select the consultant. Have you thought about what that process? I mean, it's our decision, right?
The contract, signing the contract.
Yeah, it's our decision, but we can still, we'd be asinine to do it without having Planning Commission participate
in the
interviews.
As far as I see my role there, it's one, providing some backup and support for Christie and saying to the people in that room, I mean, now that Chad is not there, it's a little bit different conversation, but this is what the board wants to happen, you know, and communicating that. And I think maintaining the relationship with Planning Commission. We know there's been some tension on who's the boss and who's responsible. And, you know, I'm having breakfast with Steve tomorrow just to try to keep that oiled, right? Just keep that relationship moving.
Idea.
I think so too.
None of this is going to work if we get sideways with Planning Commission.
No, it's going to be a problem. So I guess I would say maybe what we do is we ask the interim to participate on that steering committee and continue with that role. Christie has kept me in the loop and asked me questions on things, but she's also doing the same thing with Troy and with Steve. So I don't see that as separate from that steering committee concept, if that's all right with you guys.
No, I think the steering committee concept's good.
Okay.
And again, so I would probably rather just to not put you at risk either. Is the risk is that you try to run as much as you can through the executive committee and not take it on yourself, since you've already kind of have
a
little part target on your back in a few places. So
it's all right. I got a couple of years before I have to run for election, so I can take it.
So we're good on that? I'm good.
That's fine with me.
Again, I think the big thing is that we just had a discussion too. I mean, so scheduling too. Making sure
that March 5th or whatever.
We had the March 5th that we were supposed to go down and meet with the Beth's Transition Committee, and we happened to have a joint Planning Commission meeting that night too. I assume it's still going on.
Do you want me to just check in with Christie about that? Or you were going to have Deanna check in with Christie, right?
I think you asked
Deanna, we'll
too.
On that.
Do you still have it on your calendar, March 5th?
Nope.
Let me ask.
Make sure.
Say what?
I had it on my calendar.
For Planning Commission?
Yeah, George Planning.
6 p.m.?
Yeah. But that's also the same night that the joint Just Transition.
So you won't be there?
Well, I don't know, because I think you guys should come to the Just Transition stuff too.
Oh, right. I just saw that in Hayden.
Right.
So we might need to reschedule the Planning Commission meeting.
Yeah. How often do they meet? Every 2 weeks?
Every month, typically, right? Doug?
What's that?
Tom? Planning Commission meets every month as long as there's something to do, right?
Yeah.
They do sometimes meet twice a month?
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe we could schedule them
for another Thursday?
The 19th or whatever.
So Deanne has already been in contact with Christy. Okay. She's just going to come in. She was on the phone just now.
Really what we know is happening on Thursday the 5th is the Just Transition meeting in Hayden.
Is that the Hayden one or the Craig one?
That's
you
Hayden.
Guys don't need to come to the Craig
Hayden.
One.
It was Hayden.
Okay. And it's 6 to 8. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that would take precedence.
Which would?
The Hayden, the Just Transition meeting, I think.
Well, because I think we can meet with the committee gonna, another time.
Yeah.
I'm good.
We just can't
be in both places.
Yes, we cannot. So we need to just schedule that.
And again, I don't want to not go to Hayden.
I think we need to do that.
I think the
committee would probably be a little bit, not offended, but quizzical. As to why wouldn't the commissioner show up for this?
No, I agree. So
gotcha.
So in other words, then we're going to tell Deanna then we need to reschedule the Planning Commission meeting that night. So the Craig meeting.
No, I'm going to tell her that right now.
Yeah, tell her that. I guess we'll. So the Friday the 6th, where was that going to be at? That was in Craig, but what?
The Craig ones are at CNCC.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And the Hayden ones, I think, are at the airport.
God, I hate that place. You know, CNCC. When they built the CNCC, I can't understand how come they didn't need put any parking.
No, there's not.
Huh?
There's not good parking there.
Oh, no.
I've not been.
You got to walk from Vernal, Utah.
So then, I guess I thought the Craig open house was first, and the Hayden one was second. March 4th is the Craig one.
Oh.
And March 5th.
What's happening on March 4th?
That's the Craig open house in the evening.
For the Just Transition Committee?
Right. And then the 5th in the evening is Hayden.
Okay.
During the day on the 4th is going to be in Craig. And then during the day... Oh, no. Sorry. During the day on the 5th is going to be in Craig. And then during the day on the 6th. So there also is going to be a government meeting, which you guys will be invited to. They're having round tables throughout the day. So this is the open house.
So at a minimum, we're going to go to the open house, but it sounds like there's going to be another mandatory attendance.
There's going to be a local government roundtable.
That would be wise that
yes,
we went to that.
And that will be some, I don't know the time, that will be sometime during the day on, I believe, on the 6th. And that'll be in Hayden as well.
That's fine. That still works.
Okay, we're on a different topic.
Sorry.
No, you're okay.
We've got the master plan.
Master plan, check.
GFOA. Yeah, check.
I mean, we have leads assigned on each of
those.
Right?
We have staff leads, yes.
I mean, there does need to kind of be a project manager of all the project managers, right? Isn't that what was discussed the other day? And I would assume that would be the interim, just to keep things.
So who is when you say staff is in charge of that? Who?
You know, I need to pull up the.
Well, Helen is in charge of one.
Dan
and Kevin.
No, Dan is not in charge of any of them. Yeah. Well, they didn't make accounting in charge of any of them specifically because of the workload concept. Right.
So
chart of accounts is Helena. I remember that.
Chart of accounts is Helena. Munis budget module, that's Robert. Project grants, that's Mike Morty. Chart of accounts is Helena.
Airport has one, which must not be on this list.
No, actually, project grants is airport and Mike Morty.
Okay.
That's what I thought too, yeah.
And then the transition, Kevin. The pay period transition is HR, right?
So I just talked to planning about canceling that, and they said that they have already confirmed paid for the block ad. It's going to be in the paper tomorrow. So is there any way to still have that?
No.
No.
Okay.
How much, I mean?
It's like over $1,000 for the ad.
The Just Transition.
It's not too late for them to cancel that.
Okay.
Or revise it. If they call the paper, they can do it.
Okay.
Have them call the newspaper right now and find out what we have to do.
To cancel it? Okay. We'll do it.
Yeah, they can do that. Okay. Pink Hearts is Julie, right?
Project Grants was Tennille Gerber.
Right. And then so that's a pretty, Morty that's, is on asset management, which I don't see on this list. Am I right about that? Morty was actually on asset management. Am I remembering that correctly?
So that's a pretty high-performing group of staff.
Asset tracking and asset management.
Right.
That's a pretty high-performing group of staff that probably doesn't need a whole lot of direction, do they?
No.
I mean, we can kind of trust that, especially with Helena there, that yeah. things will continue
I
to
think
progress.
That Craig will want a point person, and I would he think it would be the interim. But to your point, it's not going to require a lot of management. It's just going to be
overseeing.
Yeah.
Some facilitation.
Well, that, I guess at the department head lunches, we probably, those not to, I mean, but I think your interim manager would probably still need
talk
to
through these things that
yeah.
there. Yeah.
Who's going to be the 24 to 26?
HR, I think. Am I right about that?
Yeah, well, that's accounting too, so.
But I think Kathy was the project lead on that.
She was supposed to be the project lead.
Yeah.
Dan took it over. She didn't resist.
Huh. That's probably the most problematic of that group of things actually getting to the finish line.
I don't know. Chart of accounts still going to be, and it's probably the first one that still needs to be.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I grabbed Julie on Friday. I didn't trust you. Your comments on the interviews of the P cards and then the interaction because I just was worried, and so she remedied my threat.
Yeah, I actually
and just
I,
there's going to be a lot of good stuff happening. No, I knew there was going to be a lot of good stuff happening. I was
so
worried about jumping into something and not having all the kinks and the stuff worked out,
and then what's his name?
Flows down
the young guy from accounting, Sean, is it?
Yeah, Sean.
I talked to him and he said the same thing. You can get this done in 3 weeks. It can be done. It's just not that big of a deal.
Well, and I was worried about going cold turkey on Elam.
Yeah. No, I think it's a legitimate concern.
Absolutely.
But I think I trust Julie a lot. By the way, I think Julie does a really great job.
Yes,
But getting confirmation from Sean made me really feel good about it.
So. Well, I felt a lot better after grabbing her on Friday and the conversation.
So I think we would want to have the interim be the liaison with Craig and help support that, but I think we have the department heads, the right people there to do the actual implementation.
Yep.
Okay.
We haven't crossed off very much, guys, so I'm here to tell you.
I think that's okay.
Yeah,
I think it's okay, too.
Yeah. So the communication team, I am informally assigned currently.
That's correct.
So
as executive sponsor.
What is the communication team?
There's
Slate.
With Slate. Yeah. And okay. Then, so I will tell you, I went on Thursday last week. Dan had indicated to me he wasn't very happy with where that team has gone. He doesn't feel like it's been very impactful.
Well, no, he kind of elaborated to us as well.
I actually asked, so, you know, Robin had really picked up on communications, and you guys saw that on our agenda, and I know probably all of us talked with her about it a little bit. Shepherd.
Okay.
And so I said, will you just come to this meeting with me and help us figure out, you know, how to most effectively use Slate and what we're doing. And so she's going to join me. And so I think she'll have some recommendations for us.
So when are you meeting on that?
Next week, next Thursday. They meet every other week.
Okay.
So I guess.
Who's that?
The ad hoc committee.
It's a committee.
Know. We'll find out when you go there.
Yana was there. Mo was there. A lot of people I don't recognize.
Yeah, there's some line staff.
Yeah, I think, and that's been part of Dan's frustration, I think, is that people send their, like, people don't take it very seriously. They're kind of sending folks who don't have a lot of authority within their department. And anyway, that's my next step on that. And I guess what I would probably do is, with Robin, maybe bring back some recommendations to you guys about where we go.
With the committee.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
no.
With Slate in general.
Well, no, and I more than in the past have appreciated Kim's outlook
right.
and trying to wean us and trying to get us into a right place. while educating some of us dumb people like myself. So I'm good with that too. But yeah, somehow we need to figure out what plan the next step is.
Yeah. And I'm fine with continuing to attend those meetings and participate. And I think, I guess, you know, I had expressed concern about relationships with the staff, et cetera. And I'm not as concerned, I guess, on that
Which
one
staff?
Because just in general, you know, not getting too into the weeds of what everyone is doing every day and creating that dynamic. I think it's probably okay because it's a broad group of people. It's not working directly with one or two staff members.
You mean Slate working with these people?
No, just me being there.
Oh, okay.
So if it's all right with you guys, I think it's okay with me. I know I had expressed some concerns about that, but...
No, I don't think it's any different than us going to the comm board or the emergency management meeting or the wildland fire meeting. So
right. But I did take the liberty of asking Robin to attend and give us some recommendations on that.
Well, yeah. Again, I'm a little stuck in the old mud here, but I'm still deciphering the value and trying to figure it out. So
you know, I'm not stuck in the old mud, and I also am trying to decipher the value. I mean, I think identifying really what it is we're trying to accomplish and whether we think what we're doing is accomplishing that is still something that needs to be done.
And
I don't feel like we're there yet.
Yeah, no, and again, if we and all of, and those guys tell us that we need that. And, you know, if it'd be different. You know, the river district's getting ready to go for a ballot issue. Well, we want to be out there and have a communications team. So, but, you know, so I'm just, again, I've already voiced my concern.
Yeah.
So if we can bring it down to the meat and bring it down to the ground to figure out how we can do, I'm all for that. So, yeah. Again, practical use of it and the rest. And she actually had some good comments during my interview, too, about that whole thing, too, which kind of, well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I think...
I mean, even the sheriff sitting here today, well, didn't you have anybody out there plowing any roads? I mean, you know, well, he's just, you know, unknowing as much as our normal taxpayers are about what our plow schedules are and what roads we plow when we plow and how we get that information out.
And if they had a problem, they should have been calling somebody.
Yeah, I know. So I guess my question is, so you haven't been attending those meetings, or have you, the communications team?
No, I have not.
Dan has been. So do we want me to attend in lieu of the manager, or do we want to ask the manager to also attend those meetings?
I think we ought to have the interim manager attend them as well.
As well, yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
And again, I guess, you know, if and when we get the permanent manager on, too, I mean, you have your perspective on it.
Well, and I think if through that we decide it doesn't make sense for me to keep doing it and we just want to transfer that over to the manager, then we can do that, too.
Yep.
And I'll kind of keep an ear to the ground on that.
At least at the higher level position that you can maintain a focus.
Yeah. And I do think I will appreciate Robin's perspective on that. She has a background in communications as well, and I think she can help us determine how this aligns with our
objectives. I'm all ears. I'm all ears, even though I can only hear out of one.
All your ear.
All my ear.
So the round table.
So I went on Thursday after we had our interview.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll be attending.
So
was,
I guess
it was
my,
like watching paint dry.
I know. When I went, I felt the same way. I guess my question, they had originally said they didn't really feel like it
policy
was
a, people.
Right. So how did that
I don't understand
dynamic,
how they can say that when every one of them people are in there are policy people.
No, they're more admin. I mean, they're
no, I meant of the six, yes.
Right.
But everybody else is out there, policy people looking out for their own interests.
Gotcha.
How can we not have a policy person in there looking out for our interests? We're looking out for our interests as the other external agencies affect us.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're just as impacted as the bicyclers are.
Mm-hmm.
Us, the county, and my writing checks. So I just, and, you know, so I was... In Ireland, so are you talking about on the committee for the executive committee?
I guess I just don't know because
I don't either.
I don't have a problem with you
doing it and being there and representing us, I guess.
I'll actually represent the ag, if nothing else. So.
I gotcha. I guess my question is, you know, if there's nobody else, no other elected officials there, it does create a strange dynamic sometimes. Yep. And so I guess I don't know, because the time I was there, they just talked about the bylaws the whole time. So I don't have a good sense of it.
But then on the other hand, let me put out another thing to you. Puts Dan in a pretty hard place
right. When
he gets asked to commit to $6,000 on something
yeah. That
he doesn't have the authority to commit to in the first place. Now, I mean, he's sitting in there with the Forest Service guy that's got the budget authority. He's sitting in there with the BLM guy that's got budget authority. But
I think that's just a one-time thing. I mean, I think the goal of that group is to come out with some recommendations at some point, right? And theoretically...
I would have been interested to stay, because I had to leave to go down to the airport commission, so I stayed till 6 anyhow, and then I still think they stayed there for another half hour, probably discussing the presentations that they had. They had a presentation from the BLM, Forest Service Rec, the State Land Board, mm-hmm. and all those people. So I don't know.
I guess my question is there, does it make sense for you to do that? And maybe it's like the communication team, we wait and see, and we kind of evaluate it as we better understand exactly what's going on there. Or is it... Theoretically, it makes sense to me that we would have planning staff in there.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. Theoretically, we should have an executive meeting committee there. It should include one of the city council members.
Yeah.
And it should include
an oversight committee.
Mm-hmm. And that should include a city council person as well as the county commission.
And then that's separate from the whole group.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm not pessimistic or optimistic
whether this
is going to go anywhere, but I'm hopeful that it does something.
Policy and administration kind of thing, right? I mean, you have that oversight committee, which would be more of the policy folks, and then you have the group, which would be the people who would be implementing and the people who would be representing their organizations.
Or putting their opinions in.
I mean,
the bodies in there, there was a lot of bodies.
I know.
You know.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
Well,
and I guess if it's meant to be a stakeholder group where they are coming up with some message to us, to the Forest Service, it just is awkward to have one of us there, I guess.
And I understand that totally, too.
Because it's kind of like you've influenced the recommendations that are supposed to come to you.
Yeah, I hate that. No, that's not good.
Right. So maybe we should think through that a little bit. Or maybe just attend a few meetings and listen and see what we think and evaluate at that point.
Yeah, let's put it out on the hold list for now.
Okay.
Keeping Mike Morty going, you just need to make sure that he's reporting to you.
And he's already our alternate. My only concern with that, I appreciate Mike Morty's position, but I think there's a natural assumption that the only thing we're going to talk about with regards to recreation is roads. Right, and I do think there's some other things that the county might want to have discussion about, and I don't know exactly what that is, but there's some other land use kind of things.
Hopefully, we're going to pick that up. I mean, that was asked. Dan made his presentation on the land use plan.
No, you're okay.
That was Matt Kirker.
That man can talk.
So can I.
Oh, you should have seen us, though. I mean, you know, he was my campaign manager, and we were meeting with the radio, Summer at the radio station, and he's just talking, and I looked at him, and I said, you have to stop interrupting me. You are my campaign manager, and you are not going to interrupt me while we're having this conversation.
He does have a way of talking, doesn't he?
He never did it again. He stopped interrupting me. Anyway, we were talking about the route recreation roundtable and whether it makes sense. We were talking about whether it makes sense to have a commissioner there or whether we should be thinking about a different representative for the county, because they had expressed that they you know, they didn't want us on the committee.
Again, that they had, and whether that's city council or whatever.
I don't think it's city council. I think it's the facilitators and it's the group.
My comment was it should be more into the fact you should have a city council, an executive steering committee, like this planning master plan committee would have something.
Well, we have that for climate action plan, too. I mean, we have that oversight committee, and then there's the project management group. So maybe that's what should be being suggested, is that the elected officials are participating in the executive committee, but that the broader group, we have more like a staff representative there. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, on a personal level, it exposes you to criticism.
Yeah, because I'll say what I think of what.
Well, I mean, the criticism would be, well, we were all working together fine and being facilitated, and then this commissioner walks in and, you know, drops his thumb on the table, and you know, what are we doing here if they're just going to be the ones that decide? That would be the, would be, and that's not just you. I mean, that's why I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
No, well, and that's what we were, it's a little bit like what we were just talking about, which is that it's a little problematic for one of us to be a member of a group that's making recommendations to us. Because you do, you carry more weight than everybody else in the group.
You do.
You can't help it. And
That's the part I'm nervous about. And not just because I'm worried that you would put a bad spin on what's happening there. I'm worried about that people would just get the impression, screw it, what are we doing here? I mean, these guys are just going to go ahead.
Wouldn't necessarily
then,
be bad.
You know, we talked about this not silly, it's actually a good idea, this concept of having the board that the chamber's been working about.
Yeah.
The board for, you know,
destination management.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, but there's no executive team to carry that on, so nobody's really carrying that unless the chamber decides to take it on. So now nobody wants to take it away from the chamber,
right?
And because the chamber initiated this whole discussion, so
right.
But who is the right board to take on that?
So going back to the Route Recreation Roundtable, I mean, that's what you would consider a classic stakeholder process that's being facilitated by the Keystone Group, and theoretically at the end of it they're going to produce some kind of a white paper, is that?
Or that this is a recommendation,
so,
that this get
so happened. Why are we having so I guess that's the question, why are we having a person attend the Route Recreation?
At all.
Exactly. So unless they're there to listen and hear and report back to us on county issues.
Well, and my comment was, ideally, I think it should be someone in planning. I mean, this is a planning effort, in my opinion. And I don't know if we have the right person in planning to do it or not. But conceptually, it's a planning effort. And our planning department should be participating.
So, yeah, and then go back to the facilitator, and you know, I don't know how long that's going to last either.
No,
so
I don't know.
I actually like what Beth said, is that one of us, your membership of the big steering committee, that is totally appropriate. But at the regular big meetings, I feel like we should just stay out of that.
Does the city have a representative at those big meetings?
Not a council.
They have their Parks and Rec board.
They have staff.
And land use. So
but we don't have Parks and Rec, and that's kind of the... But land use, I mean, I guess
fine.
Is my concept.
They have, I think Public Works is in there. Don't they have a Public Works person in there?
I don't know.
Do
you know
Tom? Sure. No, maybe
okay.
Not.
Sure.
They might not
have
Public Works.
Rainy Del Quadri.
Well, we have had Mike on, right?
Yeah,
so Mike's
like, well, what I said is my concern with Mike is that it implies that the only interest the county has in what happens is in regards to our roads, and there's no question that's a major interest, but it's not the only interest we have, and I don't think Mike can adequately represent our broader land use interests.
I don't think a planner could even where you would may want to go. I don't know that a planner has that vision either.
So and then
occurrence. That's why I asked.
I'm kind of okay with
good for Dan.
I think Mike is knowledgeable enough about the county and how it works that he can sit and listen and gather information and bring it back to us, even to the extent that it affects planning issues.
So which meetings are we talking about? Are we talking about the executive?
I think we're talking about the big meeting.
We're talking about the big meeting.
So Mike wasn't there, and Dan was there last time,
right.
And again they were
Mike's been
present,
the alternate,
present,
I think.
Present.
And Mike has gone. in the past, some of the early meetings.
And I think he's been the alternate for Dan, is essentially what's happening.
I think in the interim, I'd be okay with Mike continuing to represent the county on the big group and get back with us and keep us updated as to what's going on. And then to the extent that the steering committee meets, I think it's totally appropriate to have you there.
I can forward on any meeting notes or, you know, to you all.
Do you feel comfortable with that, Doug?
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Okay, so maybe we just let Mike know that.
And I sit on there, just like you guys. I mean, I sit on the airport advisory commission, too. You know,
yeah, so good point.
Same thing. You know, we get to, I just...
Make recommendations to yourself.
Make recommendations to yourself. So I try to, you know, let the people talk and try to, you know, and not... I especially don't want to be a leadership role in, like,
and airport commission. And frankly speaking, I'm not terribly optimistic about what this group is ever going to produce. So I'm... On that level, I'm not even too worried about what they're going to produce. It seems like they're going to have such difficulty agreeing on any plan that it's going to be really watered down. Anyway.
So back to your comment about recreation and the rest. So Dan made his presentation, and then so on. So everybody was making their presentation. Dan made the presentation on the master plan.
Okay.
What was happening on that, and Larry. How do you say it?
Desjardins?
Something like that. Yeah. There's definitely an S and a J and a G
Larry
in there. Yeah.
So anyhow, he asked...
From Keep Route Wild.
Yeah. So he said, well, who's going to determine what's going to happen in the recreation part of the master plan? And I answered him, so, well, you guys, the public's going to determine.
Right.
I guess I will tell you that the commissioners are probably, this commissioner is going to at least be a little bit savvy of what we have control over. But what's in the master plan, the public, I hope that's the right answer, is the public.
Yeah,
has to drive
absolutely.
What's
well,
going
and it's
in
all
the
about
the part of the master plan.
Yeah, and the part we can control is the policy decisions that we.
The reality is the United States Forest Service is going to be deciding the future of recreation in Brown County.
So too.
That's what's going on, especially when they are they going to be doing a master? Their what do they call it?
They resource management.
Well, they'll do a forest plan. Yeah,
but
they update that every 15, 20 years.
Yeah, it's quite old.
It's
2002 or something.
But I think that that's where Tara was probably coming from. She wanted to have this wider look
to use
to have that information.
Forest plan.
Yeah, at the end.
Well, and I think about
we can lobby to the Forest Service.
I think about the example, though, like with the Sarvis Creek plan, you know, and we referred them to that, and they were involved in the creation of that, and when they wanted to have people stay at the cabin out there, we said, hey, remember this plan that we all worked on together? I mean, that, I think, is an example of kind of how these things work.
But that was also kind of unique.
Right, but our master plan could involve similar types of concepts, right? We will support recreation in these ways. We won't do these things, you know. Yeah. I mean, and I do think we want feedback from a group like that, which is representative of the public.
That's what I think we need to hear too.
And
again, we'll figure out how to implement or what we have to say about what they tell us they think they want to have said. So.
All right.
So where did we just end up with that?
So I think we need to appoint Mike to be the
Rep.
Okay.
And then whenever there's an executive committee or whatever
that
those are,
participate.
That I will participate. And if I can make it to the regular meetings, I'll sit in the back and listen.
Yeah, that's the other
thing. I did that once, and that time I told you they only talked about the bylaws. But I think there's some value to that, too, because they don't let you talk, which is somewhat good just to hear.
Well, if you don't have a name tag, you don't have to stand it up on end to talk.
Right.
So I'm good.
Okay, that sounds great. Census, you're on
that,
Tim.
I'm on that. And really, the name there is actually Deanna. Continues.
Yeah, but you're the boss.
Yeah.
You just help her know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, we're gonna do what we're gonna do there as best we can.
So
we don't need any input from the. We don't need the interim county manager helping in that process.
No.
I mean, I trust you. You're working on it.
No, we really don't.
Great. So. I would imagine Julie's fine with the purchasing manual, right?
Yeah.
She's actually moving forward.
Okay.
In fact, I think when she told me on Friday that she's pretty close to...
Yes, she is.
I mean, it's kind of almost there.
Well, I mean, I think probably with the P-card stuff, she wanted to wait to because there might be some things in there that would be related to that, I would think. Okay, I don't know. I mean, I'm on the Economic Development Council.
I think we crossed that off.
Yeah, I think that's...
That individual is not... Huh?
cross it off?
For the manager.
For the interim.
Oh, yeah.
Interim sure. doesn't need to do that.
No. And I don't even know, I don't know what is your role or Dan's role on the Wellness and Safety Committee, and do we need someone to step
Dan
in?
Dan and Ben, I think he could probably delay this one just if you were starting off.
Okay.
Dan has been working with the representative from Hayes Consultant on the wellness side.
So do we have someone? We have that $10,000. That's the only thing. Who's figuring out how we spend that?
It would be Kathy Nelson, actually, at this point.
I mean, does she have enough participation in that process?
I can find out.
Okay.
I think they need to buy me a new pair of skis.
It's a wellness plan.
That's absolutely.
You know, I did the quick math. I think you divide that $10,000 between our employees.
Everybody gets $30.
Right, exactly. They can use it for whatever kind of recreation they want. Trinad can use it for his whiskey plan.
2021 budget calendar. Well, we've got something that's been offered by Tom. It's just going
to
be.
Try to get that done before I leave. So
that it'll just be. The interim will just be monitoring it,
right? Well, that and going with through Kendra and getting the schedule.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good.
Kendra's never going to be the contact for that.
The CIP, I'm assuming, Tom, that you'll finish what needs to be done on that before you leave,
the
right?
The only thing that needs to be done now is if you guys want to set a timeline of when you would want to start that. So if we could plug that into the budget calendar.
That's what I think. Plug it into the budget calendar.
And, yes.
Okay. Great. So it doesn't need to be separate.
We already talked about three because that routine interaction, that'll be up to me to make sure. And we already talked about that at our last agenda planning meeting, how we're going to start sequencing departments into that.
That sounds great.
You know, somewhere we need to put a calendar on that thing.
That's,
I don't mean that. I mean, as we get to the end of the year and after we've gotten more familiar, we
a calendar for what?
When we have a decision time and discussion time.
Because after this year, we would be paying for it ourselves, correct?
Yes.
So
that,
we have to.
That we need to figure out. Anyhow, toward the end of the year.
An evaluation.
After evaluation of where we're at and what we're going to use it for and how we're going to use it.
That sounds good.
So I want to keep that on the list, too.
That sounds good.
Well, because it'll be a question for budget.
Yeah, well, I'm all right. I'm more into the time factor and what we're actually going to use it for.
Okay.
That's what I'm really into.
That sounds good.
Calendar and evaluation.
I don't know what the public works stuff is. I mean, this, I assume, will just be the role of the
organization that Ray is bringing to you guys to.
So can we get some time frame on that? We still don't have a calendar.
I think he's on the agenda next week.
For approval of the position or something else?
No.
Because we already talked about it.
Actually, next week is the facilities management project.
Okay.
Because that's what we had asked for, was some calendar.
Long ago we asked for that.
I looked at the job descriptions over the weekend and commented to Ray, so he's going to be bringing those back.
And we're going to be getting somewhere before you leave on that.
So I guess we need.
So that
if we're
really,
going to approve that position, it probably needs to happen before you leave, right?
So and it's then, not really an issue then for the interim. Right, we just cross it off.
Right. Well, and I think the idea of any kind of restructure that might happen is going to be with the new manager. That's not going to happen.
No, I
before.
Think hopefully we'll have it in place by then. But,
right.
You know, I do think we, you know, probably not with the interim, but we need to make sure we track and see how it's working.
Yeah. Sorry, I was looking at the next bullet down. Just
ideas,
other types of reorganization. We would wait until we have a
correct. So we can cross that off.
Yeah.
We can cross off number four and the first bullet under number four.
Right. And I think one and five are somewhat the same.
Yep.
Okay. Great.
They are.
Six.
So back to that one.
Yeah, you're good.
So when are we going to actually just, are we on the agenda next week for the budget calendar then? Or?
No, it's not yet. It'll be coming up before I leave though.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. And so the interim are really going to be following through to help us make sure we implement it.
After I get back from my vacation, I'll probably have it done.
That sounds great. So six. I have no idea.
I do. I think we need to sell it to the city for their new fire station. They're offering like $3.5 million for a piece of property that's about that size. I say we take the money and run.
Do we really want to have a fire station next door to the
corner? No, but I'm just amazed that they are still so focused on having it downtown, and they're gonna pay $3 to $4 million for a piece of property so that they can have it downtown.
I can't believe that either. I just can't. I mean, they got one on the east end of town. Why wouldn't it make sense to have one on the west end of town in the rest? You live here, so.
Whatever.
It's your town.
I don't care. Okay, so back to the DHS project.
I think we need to continue moving forward with that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I don't know how much of an I don't see where that places that much demand upon the interim.
I mean, really, while the interim's here, all that's going to be happening is design work, right? Well, nothing else is really going to be.
So, and again, I'm interested in this. So we just got all the RFPs back.
Right.
And so
I've only seen one.
Well, we just got the electronic.
We had a couple emails, and then the one printed.
Four others, so there's five, I think, total. But so, you know, again, I don't know that we need to have the interim in there. I think I'm fine. I want to sit in on it.
I think we have, between the three of us, we have the collective ability to be able to wade through those. I mean, and we can certainly, the interim, I'm sure we'd be welcome to make some comments.
And we're going to have Ray and Steve and Julie to help us through
these. Yes, more than what the interim is really going to be able to dig
into. Well, I would think the selection of the awarding of that RFP is going to happen before the interim is here.
Probably right.
So, I mean, it's really, while the interim is here, it's design. And I think facilities can...
But we don't, right now, it is not even going to be design. We're in the conceptual first, right?
Conceptual design.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I don't think there's really much for the interim to need to do.
I mean, he can be involved to the extent of...
Yeah, and he can provide support for facilities as needed to keep that moving forward.
If somebody offered me $3.6 million for that space across the street, I'd have to think about it. Just saying.
Lucky for us, you don't get it aside by
yourself.
You could
take human services out there to the
what kills me is that,
curved drive.
You know, when I asked Jim Cook to give us an informal appraisal, it came back at like $950,000 for that property. And then he was talking about, you've got the expense of tearing the building down. It's not that great of a spot. But here are the cities running around and throwing money at it. Oh, well, never mind.
I think 7, 8, and 9 are probably just crossed off and or rolled in with
the new county
the other things that are already on the list.
Yep. All right, so we decided upon a timeline.
We did?
Yep, we did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't we?
Just refresh my memory. What did we decide?
Well, we decided we're determining finalists
on
this Friday.
And
we're interviewing next Wednesday. And I assume we would have a decision on who we're hiring
the following Tuesday?
Yeah, or Monday. Or Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then we would be move into negotiating with that person at that point, right?
And is that would be a professional services agreement that Eric would put together?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I've been told.
You think it's a contract?
Temporary employee.
Could be a temporary employee.
With no insurance.
Is that, and that's Eric?
No, it'd probably be HR.
You just appoint him as a temporary employee.
And then you come up with an hourly rate.
But I think Tim means, is that what Eric said? Or would we just ask Eric which of those two we should
do? You can ask Eric, but what... That's what the advice I got
from the
roundup range writer.
Oh, that's what's going to be expected.
That's what's normally done. Is there
plus it's hard to execute a contract because you don't know how long they're going to be.
Well, they're not covered. Whether they're going to be covered by our liability or immunity and the rest, and so those are things that need to.
Iron.
And so all of that will just be sort of a negotiation process with that person?
With an hourly rate.
Okay.
And so, you know, basically what that Tim Gagan told me is basically you come up with some rate based on what your county manager is making now and adjust for the cost of living.
Yeah, that's what Gary said too.
Yeah.
Gary indicated he usually did it on more of a monthly basis, but I don't think that that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Well, he did again, say that.
So you figure the hourly and then come up with the monthly.
Oh, so do we,
and the negotiation part was kind of like, well, I can be there 4 days a week. I think I can do what you're asking me to do in 30 hours a week. That's kind of what Gary said.
And that's probably was doing. We're probably going to have somebody for 4 days a week because they're going to want to leave on Friday to go home to wherever they live. And that's probably fine.
Well, and Gary said his estimate was usually, yeah, based on what you're asking me to do, I think it'll take me X number of hours a week to do it. I feel confident about that. Here's what I'm going to do if I need to work more than that. I think he told us that what he usually did was bill at a discounted hourly rate for additional hours if he needed to. And we probably need to start now figuring out if there's a housing opportunity out there. Not that we know what this person's going to need exactly.
So I thought you might have said that you had a friend or somebody that are a realtor. I don't have any friends.
I can ask some realtor folks.
My friends in the
world. I've got one of the warehouse units available in there. 1,000 square foot, pretty good deal.
Yeah, I can ask
Other house. Than my my
Dad sister. Has got to do a little bit sister, of work.
But don't, she doesn't handle rentals.
No, so I have some people I can ask
that have handled. You know, even if it was that. We make our jokes about treehouse too. So, but
I know. Well, that was my husband. He was standing there. He's like, "Aren't there some short term rentals out in the county that you guys could secure?" And I said, "Okay, whatever."
Well, you just have to sign a 30-day lease.
Well, that's what Doug said. Doug wrote back and said, "Well, it wouldn't be illegal because it'd be more than 30 days."
Yep, there you go.
That's something that we pay for on top of their contract. Is that right?
I think that's probably what's okay. That's what. And didn't Gary tell you that too? Or?
I don't remember.
I don't know that he really spoke to that.
He said you have to find housing for that.
So again, I think we need to find housing.
Yeah.
Whether
they pay for it or we pay for it.
Unless we find somebody that's in here locally.
Right.
And so.
That sounds good.
And I actually have another local person that might be interested in this as well. So, but he said he would send me some stuff. So,
that sounds good. Okay, well, I can start asking around. I no guarantee I'm going to find anything.
I don't know.
But I'll call Chip again. That's why I'm starting now.
I had a conversation with him. He said, "Oh, I know someone you can talk to," and then he sent me this card, but it's for a lawyer. And so, maybe Chip didn't understand what I was asking him about. So it was a short conversation.
We're going to do what on Friday again now? So we're going to...
Friday at...
We're just going to have a brief conversation to determine who were...
Determine finalists.
And that's after that is when I'm going to contact these guys back.
Yeah.
And so how about this other guy? Are you going to get a resume from him?
This guy here?
No. This guy here.
I don't even know. I think that this might be just someone that Chip said I should talk to, not because he would be... looking for the job.
Okay.
It would be
something. I think we have out of the four or five,
we can find one.
I think we have. I'm all right.
I mean, I'll track down this contact and see what he has to say. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so I'll get on the one person that I still, local, that said he was interested.
We'll have Friday earlier in the day. We'll get Deanna organized, ready to send out the emails. And with time.
To organize.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds great.
They did great the last time. So.
Good work, team. We got something done, that's for sure.
So we
do something, even if it's wrong.
We still need to, in the long run, finalize our edits to the job description, too.
Yes.
Yes, but I think that's...
Some of your discussion here, so